Oh, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to die. Okay, here we go.
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Down in Front. Our movie this week is Tron: Legacy.
Yes.
Yeah, man.
It's I couldn't even fart.
You didn't, wow, that's...
Why all the hate?
That was pretty lame. Anyway, go ahead and pop in your DVD or Blu-ray. Press play. Press pause when the Disney Tron logo fades to black. At the first frame you perceive of all black, press pause. And in a second, I'll say 3, 2, 1 on pause. At which point, I'll press play. You'll press play. And we'll watch the movie together in perfect sync. It'll be like any other commentary, except, of course, with four friends in your head. Those friends this week are myself, as always, Teague Christie. My friend, Eddie the Eddie Doty.
That's me.
You're back for Tron. Dorkman the Dorkman. Dorkman.
Yes.
And Ryan the Weber Weber.
But hello.
This, okay. Now, here's my thing. Here's the timeline. I see Tron as a child, and then I don't really see it again for a long time, right? Okay, with me? And then I always think that I like Tron. And then the trailers for Tron Legacy start popping up. That first clip from Comic-Con 2007 or whatever it was. And then, like, the trailers themselves, and I'm like, oh, this is so amazing, they're getting it right. Mm-hmm. I get psyched up, right? I go back and watch Tron.
Whoopsie.
It didn't quite live up to my memory. And then I went to see Tron Legacy, and I was like, this is the shit. So I walked out of the theater going, this was the shit. It's not all of why I got a good kick out of it, is because if you go back and watch the original Tron, it's more boring than this. Get over your fucking selves.
That actually, Ryan has brought the Tron Legacy abridged script.
Yes, I
from
did.
the-editing-room.com. And yeah, one of the last lines is, so how was it in there? And go, all right, I guess. The special effects were okay, but it wasn't as good as the first movie. And the other guy goes, are you an idiot? Go download Tron and watch it with someone who's never seen it and see how long you can last before apologizing in embarrassment and shutting it off.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, here's the thing. I know that a lot of people have problems with this movie and various problems, and people on our forum have already been talking about perhaps Chekhov's gun issues and things like that. I almost don't want to say I'm an apologist for Tron because I don't quite know what's wrong with it, if anything's wrong with it.
I did not realize you were in favor of this resolution, no pun intended.
I can see things that could have been cooler, but all the pieces seem to be there, aside from Clue. Guys, I'm sorry, but you guys didn't have enough time, and I'm sure you could have gotten there if you had more time, and you did Benjamin Button like a year before that. It's just, Clue doesn't work at all. Everything else is fucking amazing. I like this movie a lot. I look forward to trying to figure out how it could be better or what I'm not seeing, what's wrong with it, but Tron Legacy was one of my favorite movies last year. Eddie?
I think it's a wildly uneven movie.
You're a wildly uneven guy!
Hey! Chaotic neutral.
Aren't you in this movie?
I think there's maybe three or four commentaries where I actually mentioned the backstory, but download any Down in Front. There's a 1 in 7 chance you'll hear me tell the story. But yeah, in the audience for the Disc Wars, mm-hmm. I'm somewhere in there. But no, I think it's a...
I think three of us here are... Were you there for that?
For the Comic-Con panel?
In the
That's
Comic-Con
where it was.
Really?
No, I missed it.
I was there too,
yes.
They did the bounce... Yeah, okay, so yeah. Ryan and I, our first collaboration. They did a follow the bouncing ball moment and do all the audience chants, you'll make out our voices, I'm sure. I like a lot about this movie. There's some things in here I really, really enjoy. But I almost wish I want the movie after this one. If it's ever gonna get there, because I think there were some things they hint at that are like, okay, that's a far more interesting story. You say Clue doesn't.
Oh, hi, Killian Murphy. What are you doing here?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I really do not understand why you wouldn't set that up in the first one. We'll get into that further, where you wouldn't have David Warner's presence sort of be known in this. If you're going to go and have Bruce Boxleitner and Jeff Bridges, why not just complete the trilogy and have David Warner in here as well? I just think he's a more compelling villain than Clue too. I get sort of the thematic daddy issues they were going for. Yeah. There's a lot I enjoy, a lot I don't enjoy. I think Roger Ebert kind of summed it up best. He said this is one of the few movies where the visuals accompany the music.
Hell yeah, you know, I forgot about the score.
Because the soundtrack is the best thing about this movie. It's pretty amazing.
The soundtrack and the aesthetic.
The aesthetic, yeah. The aesthetic, the design, there's... the world's a bit kind of empty. It's sort of like this giant shining city in a sea of black, where I feel like if it's 2011, you could actually, you know, compare if the first movie was an analogy of where computing was then, the world in the first movie felt much bigger than the world in this one. This one, it just feels
that's
like
that's a good point. It hadn't occurred to me that the cityscapes in Tron weren't sparse because that was their design idea.
Right.
They were sparse because it's like, holy shit, we got a cube. That is a building. Oh, my God.
Right. This just feels like it's like Manhattan broke off into an ocean, and that's it. And that's sort of what the
world
is.
It's very confined
like
in its geography. You almost know the boundaries, and they don't spend a lot of time trekking across a lot of it. It's like they go about a mile and a half
right.
over the course of the whole movie.
And it's designed to all get out, and that's great. But beyond that, I think this opening title shot, which is our pause screen, this Disney castle in this sea of black, that's kind of what the world looks like, and that's not enough compared to the if you actually follow the analogy to its logical conclusion of what computing is nowadays. You know, there's going to be a ton of script issues that Mike will articulate far better than myself, but there's things I liked, there's things I didn't like. One quick thing, I was a little bit hampered in the theatrical screening of this. My wife was 9 months pregnant at the time, and she really wanted to go out and see a movie, and she just really wanted to, like, hang out. She was tired of hanging around the house. I'm like, absolutely, honey, come along with us. And she got the worst series of hot flashes and Braxton Hicks contractions throughout this entire thing. So she was fading in and out of consciousness, going, what happening? Screen with the light? What? and just kind of fading in and out. So I'm having to make sure her water's not going to break throughout the entire screen.
You didn't miss anything, sweetie.
I know. That's kind of what I had to tell her. She's like, I did. And that afterwards, she's like, I kept falling asleep and going in and out, and it was so hot in there. She was having this insane hot flash. She's like, I missed this part. What happened with this guy? That didn't make sense. And I'm like, it didn't make sense. I can't. There's no piece that you missed that will solve that problem for you. Anyway, we'll get into more of it there. But I like this movie. The parts I like, I really like a lot. But it has yet to compel a second viewing. So
Dorkman,
what you said last is very much how I feel about it. I watched it and I kind of enjoyed it at the time. There are parts of it that I really enjoyed, but I haven't seen it again since I saw this
3 times in theaters.
Wow.
I just love the way it looks. I love the sound. Drive hadn't come out at this point. It's been a long time since I'm in a theater listening to very, very loud synth music like that. Right. It's just everything about this was my shit. I love the way it looks. I don't...
Well, yeah, but you're going back to you love the way it looks and you love the soundtrack, which I totally agree
but
are both
the
good
claim that
of it.
I went to the theater 3 times doesn't rely upon me having been involved in the story.
No.
I just... this is so fucking awesome.
Exactly.
It was like going to see the planetarium or something for me.
Yeah, yeah. Because you said before it seems like all the pieces are there.
It does.
And they are in the sense that
it functions.
They're there in the sense of like taking a box with puzzle pieces and dumping it on the table and then going, there you go, light cycles. You know, that's what this movie is.
It's C-3PO in the backpack.
Yeah,
there is a working robot in that bag.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not working as intended.
Someone needs to put it together and the Wookiee got its head on wrong and you know, and it's bitching the whole time, but.
What do you take away from it? Did you take away from it when you saw it one time?
What do you mean?
Well, you didn't go back to it. You said you enjoyed some parts of it. Were you just sort of like, that movie didn't harm my psyche, I'm okay? Or was it like, fuck that movie?
I mean, well, no, because I wasn't invested enough because Tron wasn't great. And, you know, I was like, I could see how this movie was just going to be all eye candy and the music, which
was a Tron movie.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not disappointed because I wasn't really expecting anything. I was optimistic and hopeful because you could have done a lot with it.
Nowhere to go but up.
It's like that Plinkett quote. It's like, what were you expecting, asshole?
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't, you know, they could have made a better movie than this, but I wasn't expecting them to. So I can't say I was disappointed when they didn't. So I was just like, all right, well, that was interesting to watch. Although, you know, again, the music is the best part of it. And I've listened to that many, many times. And I really found myself at a number of points in this movie going, man, I hope someday I make a movie worthy of this kind of music.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right.
Really?
This movie is not worthy of this kind of music even, but I hope someday I can make a movie worthy of that kind of soundtrack.
Asterisk on that one. I'll come back to it during the commentary.
Quick aside, in a lot of the places where I've worked in the last year since this came out, and the...
All the temp tracks are Tron scores?
Exactly. And the music bins for all of the sizzle reels and sales tapes that were made. And I'm guilty of it, too. I think I've done like 4 or 5 that have had Tron Legacy soundtrack. But
sure.
Tweebles.
Yeah, that CD went into my car and has not come out.
Yeah, likewise. It's in my car, yeah.
Yeah, it's just sort of the soundtrack of my transportation around Los Angeles.
It's really good through night, rainy Los Angeles.
Sure.
I was in a traffic jam in Hollywood, and it was raining, and it was night, and that was just like the motorcycle.
You're on acid.
The motorcycle thingy in the beginning. Oh, it's so cool. Anyway.
Movie. Yeah, asked to describe this movie to someone else who hadn't seen it, like, what did you think of it? I'm like, I find it infinitely watchable. I find myself landing in the Teague camp on this one, where it's just like, I don't know, it's the same thing about like how I watched Phantom Menace like 35 times on VHS when it came out. Sure. It's just, I can just watch it and just sort of appreciate it on the technical, visual, audio levels, you know, essentially. And I have the same thing with this one. Like, you know, it functions as a story, but, like, the parts where the disappointment comes in is all these, like, little things where you're just like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Wait, that doesn't make sense. Wait, yeah. That doesn't make sense. And it's not like a global, like, oh, fuck, that whole plot was totally jacked. It's kind of like, no, if you look at it from a bird's eye view, it's kind of like, yeah, that's fine. That works. But then you get in closer and there are all these little things that are just sort of like, well, that seems like that would have... You know, that script needs to go through the rock polisher another time and sort of iron out some of the little weirdnesses. But anyway, I just have
a
watched
lot
this
of,
many times.
I think a lot of the plot holes just come down to if you sat down with any of the characters and went, so what was your plan?
Sure.
When you did that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
And they would not be able to give you a coherent answer.
I'm looking forward to this commentary. Yep. Elsewhere in the chat room will be troping for us. With that said, get your finger on the mouse or the remote. Put your butt on the finger. I don't know, man. I have a cold, and I'm on cold medicine right now, so this will be fun. Anyway.
OPM.
Walt Disney logo has faded to black. 3, 2, 1, unpause. And we're in. Now, let me do my asterisk real quick.
Okay.
I have been a fan of Daft Punk since 1996.
Oh, right? Well.
Okay. No, I'm not. I'm just qualifying what I'm about to say.
What just popped into my head is that picture, that meme of Ariel with the glasses on, the hipster. Right.
No, Daft Punk's been around since like 92. I'm not underground on Daft Punk.
Before we lose this, I got to say, this opening is absolutely brilliant.
Sure. I don't remember the name of the other guy. Oh, fuck. I forgot your name. I know D-Lu was one of the guys that did a lot of this stuff.
This the track for this, the soundtrack track for this, this,
it's an outstanding.
This has gotten, I'd say, almost most of the play. But I mean, when they opened this, this opening got my hopes up immediately high. Yeah.
Well, it's gorgeous. It's fucking
like
gorgeous.
Higher than the first movie in a lot of ways. Like, it just once I saw them do this, I was just like
oh,
somebody gets it. Somebody gets it.
It all came together. The music, the aesthetic, and then it builds to the, you know, the theme.
The analogy works.
Yeah,
you know?
which music wise. It's not the theme from Tron. It's not the theme from the original
Tron.
No. And yet it's immediately recognizable. You're like, that's Tron.
I wanted to mention that too, which is that when you listen to, as most people I would imagine is the case for, you haven't seen Tron in a long time or whatever, and you certainly don't remember the soundtrack, you think. But then you listen to this and you're like, oh man, like that Cluth theme that I'm sure is from the first one, they like really stylized and updated.
Not
go back
all.
And listen to it. There's not a shred of the original Tron soundtrack in this one. And it's amazing because it sounds like it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Anyway, what I was going to say about Daft Punk real quick. Oh, shit. You know what? We can come back to it because this is...
Actually, that shot right there is the only piece of Tron music from the first one. When he goes, bum, ba, bum, 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 Tron, as though he saw the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I like how the actual movie poster is on his wall. It's clearly been retrofitted to look like the video game poster. For the video game in the universe called
Tron.
Well,
that's what I was trying to figure out about all this stuff, all the memorabilia and things. Mm-hmm. What are they exactly implying happens?
It's a healthy universe of video games and the universe. So it's like a galaxy of various little video games and offshoots and shit like that that's been happening all this time.
Well, you know,
that's what Incom was.
Yeah, so once he regained
now
control...
Now it's Microsoft. It
once he regained control
of
the properties like Space Paranoids at the end of the first movie...
He made a Tron game.
He went in, to go on and make Tron,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, why not?
All right, did you finish your fucking thing? Go.
No, we can come back to it later. I want to talk about CG Bridges.
Yeah,
okay.
So far I was like, okay, not quite, but keep it like this.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, really? No,
do this for
I was cringing
minutes.
In theaters. I was like, no, this is your first shot.
Now,
it's so long.
As a panel made up of three visual effects artists, we will tell you...
And one asshole.
This is not anything that they were like, we feel like we have nailed it. This was, guys, we don't have time for more revisions on this. And they fucking scratched their eyes out on the way home. They're like, oh, God damn it. Fuck. We could totally do this. And they did not have time to. There was so much work going on in this movie. And it's a bummer, man, because DG has done outstanding digital humans. They have pulled it off before.
I mean, just before this, they rolled straight into this from Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Now, the other thing is, for the majority of the movie, you're looking at Clue, not real Bridges.
Yeah.
And what happens is... An argument in my head. What happens is, I go, if it's supposed to be a old school unfinished program in a computer world, and the face isn't and the face isn't working.
This is what mosaic that argument that, though,
or something.
Yeah, because this is in the real world.
Yeah,
you couldn't use that.
Well,
that's what I'm
saying. wasn't the argument you were going for. Right. A lot of people go for, well, it's supposed to look kind of digital and weird because it's in a computer. I'm like, okay, except
No. What I'm saying is, if Clue isn't working, and there are shots where Clue works pretty well. In fact, I think the most impressive thing about Clue's bust throughout the movie is his hair. I think his hair looks exactly right. But if it's not working, I wonder why they didn't just pull the trigger on it and say, guys, we didn't nail this. Let's go over this in After Effects real quick and just give it a little...
I always wonder this. Where are we right now in this sea of televisions?
Yeah, this is an interesting sort of abstract...
Yeah, it's a little...
I kind of like it, though.
I'm all right with it. I'm just like, it's just an interesting choice to make after
it is.
After being in reality.
I think if you kind of... Once you start to examine this, there are a lot of interesting little choices.
I think
where was the Tron logo in the city? Like, you know...
Yeah. I think John, I keep wanting to say
Kaczynski?
John Kaczynski, Joe Kaczynski instead of John Krasinski from
Unabomber.
Joe Kaczynski, I think he's got, I want to see him do other stuff that's sort of his own IP. Mm-hmm. As opposed to this, I personally wish they would have used Bruce Boxleitner a lot more.
I like him a lot,
and just for a lot of not just because I like him, but I think narratively
that works.
He could have
Look at that.
Held up, and that's
cover
another,
it with some biodigital jazz, and it's fine.
That'll go into sort of my overall critique is that for a movie called Tron Legacy, we get startlingly little Tron, and Tron has very little to do with the actual.
I don't
plot
understand
of this.
Why they call him Rinsler.
Rinsler,
it's like guys,
okay,
holy shit! The movie's called Tron.
But not only that, it also doesn't. It's not even a big spoiler. The first time you see Rinsler, he's got the exact Tron icon.
For people who are paying attention and remember the first one,
the first scene, he hits the light up button on the Tron toy, and you see that same logo on him, and it's like
for those who are paying attention.
Yeah, but still,
what they're trying to do is have you go, oh my god, Rinsler is Tron, which. I understand what they're trying to do.
And?
Because what they're saying, you're supposed to think that Tron's a good guy. Because he fought for the users, man. And at the outset of this, you're seeing this fucking badass. Here's what their intention was. They wanted Rinsler to be like this Darth Maul guy throughout the whole movie. You're like, that guy is so fucking badass.
Yeah, literally
awesome.
Darth Maul.
And then you're supposed to have it at the end become, oh my god, no, that's Tron. What happened to Tron? And then at the end, he gets better by saving him. And blah, 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 blah.
Well, again,
at the end, he gets better for some reason.
For some reason. There's a lot of reasons why it doesn't work. Yeah. But a large part of this movie's issues are the focus on Kevin. Or is that his name, Kevin Flynn?
Kevin Flynn,
Kevin Flynn. Making him the... As a character, I don't know why I should... I mean, there's the...
Oh, you mean Sam? The son?
Sam Flynn, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why Sam... Like, he's just an... I don't know he's the best choice to sort of hang our hat on narratively throughout this thing.
He needs to be what gets us into the story, and then...
He's kind of a blank guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of
just he's a cipher. He's a bit of a cipher throughout...
Right. Well, and then what? What are you proposing?
Huh? Well, and then...
Jake Lloyd,
to the story.
Probably.
Yeah, but...
He can help out his dad, but not be the sort of the... The guy, you know,
or at the end, he can come to it, but it's just focusing, like you say, it stays with him, and he's supposed to be driving the story, but he's so blank and he has no plan, and nothing that he's actually trying to accomplish. That it's like,
I don't know. I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, he's consistently the only one who's just like, he gets in there and he's like, I'm going to get my dad. We're going to get the fuck out of here. Hey, I got my dad. Let's get the fuck out of here. His dad's like, no, let's hang around. He's like, all right, let's go to the portal. You're not going. I'm going to go without you. He's the only one who has bold direction.
I guess that's
him and Clue.
I get what you're saying, but I guess it's that disunity of direction that causes a lot of like narrative muddle. It's a sense that they seem to be having two separate goals. And like for the movie that starts us off with, you know, with Kevin Flynn, we should want to follow Kevin Flynn, but then why, if we aren't following his story and we should be more sympathetic to Sam's role, why? It's just, it gets a bit.
The issue here is what Mike's always saying is you can have problems, but we have to care about them first.
Right.
And we don't ever get a hardcore reason to care about him in particular because they tried so hard to make him the everyman, I guess. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt in saying they tried to make him an everyman,
well,
and they didn't just give the most bland actor in the world the most bland dialogue ever.
I think that's why they need Killian. That's why I keep saying, don't save Killian Murphy for your sequel.
Right.
Don't save the son of David Warner's character in the original. Don't save.
Have the first movie be them both down there
yes,
trying to fuck
like,
each other over.
Because then here's the problem. Kevin Flynn has a natural antagonist in Clue, but once Sam's there, he just gets sort of caught up in his father's mess,
right,
trying to get him out. give Sam his own antagonist to get out there. And then you can have, like, you can still elucidate these father and son, you know, themes that you keep hitting us over the head with this entire time.
Watch this sequence real quick. I'm sorry. The directorial statement that's being made here, the look, the aesthetic of what Kaczynski is doing, reminds me of nothing so much as it reminds me of the video on the front page of Down in Front with the slow dollies on the insert shots and the out of focus backgrounds. Watch this movie in that sense, and you'll think that Kaczynski directed our video or iJim directed fucking Tron Legacy.
By the way,
it's all inserts. Every single scene is just made of inserts.
By the way, this probably isn't a trope, so to speak, but it's a random visual thing that they've got. He shines a laser into the security camera, which fritzes it out. And then the security guard
taps
the monitor.
Uh-huh.
And that somehow fixes the camera.
I don't think they were necessarily implying that him tapping it fixed it. It's just that it fixed itself after he tapped it. Like, he's a retard for tapping it in the first place, but...
Well, maybe. Anyway, I'm sorry, I interrupted you, Eddie.
No, I was done.
Okay, cool.
Well, our other problem here is, like, well, we spend this entire opening sequence with these antagonists, and his whole,
insert, wait for the coffee cup, insert.
It's a little tricky. I mean, this might do better now with Occupy Wall Street and stuff or whatever, because his whole save the cat moment is taking down a corporation,
right?
In a sense,
like that was his father's that's now fallen into the hands of corporate.
Yeah. So he pulls a Wozniak and gives away all their source code.
He pulls a Turk 182.
Yeah. We spend all this time setting up these bad guys who never show up again.
Yeah.
Do you think NCOM has to be Microsoft for this movie to work? Did they have to do that? That wasn't a thing in the original movie. They all of a sudden made them like the...
Well, it was, but only because of Dillinger. Yeah. Like, the idea would be that once, Alan took it back over with Kevin, that it was back to being a good company again.
Yeah, right. You could also... you don't necessarily have to call it Microsoft either. That's got a very clear Apple history as well. They ousted Steve Jobs. They lost track of what the hell they were doing.
But when they ousted Steve Jobs, Apple became a piece of shit company. These guys are taking over the world.
Right.
I mean, they're...
Oh, sure, sure.
They're releasing operating systems. Uh-huh. They were a game company.
Another global computing company. No, I guess
they went from being Atari to being Microsoft.
I mean, look, the fact is we should only spend so much time in the real world in a Tron movie. And I guess what I'm saying is that in the first Tron movie, the thing that the first Tron movie did right, because I think we all agree the first half of Tron is what works better than the second half. The first half of the Tron movie very much set up the stakes in the real world. Like, okay, there is this conflict. Here's the good guy. Here's the bad guy. Here's what's at stake. They go into the game grid to fight the battle, essentially, that we set up in the real world. Here we're in the real world, and once we get in the game grid, everything that's happened in the scene really doesn't have anything to do with anything. Like, they get into the game grid, and then it's like, okay, well, now we got to get our dad out. And it's like, oh, great, why are we here?
Because the whole thing with the original Tron was he was trying to prove that they stole his code.
Right.
That's what the whole story was
about.
So
I have to go into the grid because the Master Computer Program has all this info, and I will get it on my identity disk, and then I will get out, and I'll have the proof, and that's exactly what happens. It pays off. All the problems of the first movie, fine, but it fulfills the promise of the premise. This stuff is good, and when this was happening, I'm like, great, we're going to see young Cillian Murphy, and they somehow hit his credit, and it's going to be this big thing, and he's trapped in there because obviously David Warner's still around, and Dillinger is doing his thing, but once we get into the world, none of this stuff really matters.
I think really all it's trying to do is establish...
Oh my god, Windows Vista showed up on a torrent! National news.
Yeah, like the whole thing is like, where's the master file? It's like, oh yes, we have one copy of our operating
system. Right. Exactly.
Oh, they Robin Hooded it. Holy shit. Yeah. I think this whole beginning thing is just all it's really trying to do is create more of a need besides Sam for Kevin to come back. It's like, it's more of a like,
there's
it sucks that he's lost.
World.
He needs to be back here.
But Kevin doesn't come back.
That's
the problem.
But it's, I don't know.
It doesn't actually pay that off.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's all it's trying to create is a desire for you, the viewer, to want to see him get back, which just reinforces what they're
doing. I guess, but at the same time, if Sam here were enough of a character,
mm-hmm.
I would
him missing his dad.
Him
would be
missing
enough.
His dad would, and getting a clue that hey, your dad may still be alive. Mm-hmm. You go help him. That would be enough.
Right. When father son stuff is done right, you get The Lion King, and it works. Yeah. And when it's not done right, you get something like this, which is like, you know, when the two are on screen together and they have chemistry, that works for me. But that's what I'm saying. It's not that this sucks and it's all a failure. It's that there's elements that work, but it doesn't always work.
I think it was on Avatar. I asked Mike why we give Star Wars credit for being this amazing story, and we give Avatar, we kind of dig on it for that, basically having the same story.
I'm glad you bring that up.
And what he said was, well, there's a difference between a form and a formula.
Right, and I've actually
this movie
got
is
a better
like,
way to even
you have an even pithier
that.
Thing? That's,
well,
that was pretty
pithy. Well, no, that was pithy, but
what I was going to bring up is this movie almost slavishly follows the monomyth.
I love the subtitle just there. It was, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, whatever. This movie almost slavishly follows Joseph Campbell. Like, it's all there. And this is where it came to me. It's like formula. You can have all those... The plot can be there, and it can make however much sense it makes. But if there's not much story, not much meat,
right.
Not much, I care about these people, I care about what they're doing, and I understand why what they're doing should resonate in my own life.
I was going to say, that's exactly what is become clearer to me now in terms of articulating it, and the difference between, say, Star Wars and Avatar is both of them follow the same plot beats, like you say, but in Star Wars, I am engaged with and care about what the characters are going through, and in Avatar, I personally am not. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they're going through. I don't have any investment in what's going on. It's all very pretty and stuff like that, but I come out of Avatar, and I'm like, I'm actually not clear on what I'm supposed to take away from that.
Right.
I don't understand exactly what that's about, whereas Star Wars, you can very clearly, you know.
But even just the characters, when you get down on a finer scale, in Star Wars, there's so much character. It's saturated with, like, you, like, enjoy watching these people.
Yeah.
There's also something to be said about myths. I mean, you know, the myths that Star Wars alludes to are, I think, easier accessible than what you have in Avatar. Avatar, it's about, wow, save the planet. Essentially, you know, protect the environment. And that's great, but it's different than, it's not quite as personal as a kid saying, yeah, I'm going to apply and go out to be a pilot next year like my dad. Well, you can't. You have responsibilities here. And then he walks out and he looks at the two sons longingly. That people get that. Like, that's a lot of people identify with that easier than they would, you know, than.
Well, yeah, it's one guy taking on the world, which is, you know, being a hero. Whereas Avatar is, for example, is kind of that, but at the same time, it's like, well, he was already a soldier. He was already, you know, ready to take on the world in his own part and be part of something bigger. He just switched sides.
Exactly.
And so what's, you know, what does that
even
matter?
The original Tron, it's, you know, I mean, a lot of people feel like, you know, I'm not recognized for my work and people are getting credit for things that are mine. A lot of people identify with that. And you mix in the myth of, okay, I can become something else in this other world. I can become something greater than what I am.
Well, you also you mix in the idea of you know, at the time, especially technology and computers and stuff were advancing so quickly. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is the implication of
frontier.
This for our world?
Yeah.
All that being said, comparing beginning of Avatar, beginning of Star Wars, what's the emotional crisis at the heart of Tron Legacy?
I miss my dad.
Yeah. Which is okay. That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's just
if
the execution.
That were it.
Yeah. The execution.
Again, bird's eye view, perfectly fine. Nothing wrong there.
Yeah. Exactly. You know? Exactly. And that's you know, from the bird's eye, we have this amazing looking movie with, you know, although uneven, like some pretty impressive design and an amazing score. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you start to zoom in a bit, and there's some gaps there. So, by the way, if I was single, I would totally love living here. You know, if I was 25 years old, I had a dockside apartment. I'm, you know, aside from the smell, I'd be all right with that.
And you'd get used to it.
You'd get used
to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You've just become desensitized.
I used to live in San Pedro. Hey, I get used to that smell.
Now you're just saying that. Here's one of the problems I have with this movie is that they just say stuff without any meaning.
Good. Let's talk about
they,
this.
They just they talk about, you know, oh, he's talking about genetic algorithms, quantum teleportation. Later on, he's in Flynn's apartment and he's pointing at the books on the shelf going like Dostoevsky, Nietzsche. It's like, what does that mean?
Words, just saying phrases names. Even.
Yeah. You're just saying the names. Right. Of things that have no thematic bearing on what it's just these are smart names for smart guy.
Right.
You know?
Even earlier, like when he base jumps and he cuts his chute on top of the cab, he lands on top of the cab, which apparently has a sunroof. And the cab driver says, "Hey, what are you doing? No free rides." Really? Like, think about that for a second. If a dude falls in your car, you're going to have that ready to go, just in the chamber. That's what you're going to say?
Yeah, that happens all the time. He's like,
hey, no free rides.
You can't ride on top of my shit. We should put spikes up there like they do for the pigeons.
If I'm at home making dinner and someone Donnie Darko's through my roof, will I go, hey, I didn't buy food for five?
Yeah.
You know, like...
You would in a certain kind of movie, but this movie is not trying to be that kind of movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, we can talk more about that like later when we get to the whole shit with the ISOs and stuff, but
yeah.
I never,
oh,
like,
man,
the biggest thing that I just didn't get was the implications of that, at least in the way that
we should hold off on that until we get to the end.
So. Yeah, we'll get to that.
But I love
this. In the chat room real quick, Elsewhere points out that base jumping is a Chekhov's skill. And I don't recall that it comes back. Oh,
nope.
It does come back.
It does come back.
They break through the window on their escape.
Yeah.
After they steal Clue's identity disk.
They have the cyber squirrel
suit. He goes,
hey,
where'd you learn that? And he says, Incom Tower.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, then Kevin goes, Incom Tower? Which is like, ha! It was like, they had a tower in the first movie.
Yeah, dude, yeah. You landed your helicopter. The last shot of the movie is that.
Yeah, okay, now.
Why is this still here?
By the way.
Why is this arcade still here?
By the way, I'll have you know. That Separate Ways by Journey is not on the soundtrack. No. Rock music blares, fuck you, movie.
Right, right.
Separate Ways is amazing.
And someone's still paying the power bill?
Right. Yes, seriously.
So you can just turn it on?
I guess if you hit a breaker or something, I don't know. Right. I love that they kept this.
The actual magic
originally.
Bait of the movie is that there's a nuclear power plant under this room.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, anyway. maybe you could argue that since Flynn's lab was in the back, that maybe it had its own sort of independent power. I don't whatever.
Well, if he's gonna be going in and playing around in a computer, you can damn well be sure he has auxiliary backup.
I have this rule.
That's true. Yeah,
I have this rule. I kind of
okay. Retconned. Why not?
Yeah, I have this rule called the whatever rule, which is like if I have to think about something in a movie, I will. It's okay if I can make it to the sentence before I get to whatever. So, like, just now, it's like, well, maybe there's an independent... Oh, whatever. That's if I get to whatever, it doesn't work. Like, it just... If I have to work that hard to fill in the logic gap. And I love seeing the original. I wish they would have thrown in the Journey video game in this arcade sort of in the background for those old enough to remember the Journey video game.
I don't know how I feel about the fact that they made a Tron Light Cycle... In-universe, they made a Tron Light Cycle game when he was like, I've played that game, and the losers die. We're killing people in this game.
That's Tony.
Yeah, you know? I don't know if I morally
that had
could
not occurred to me until just
game.
Now.
Hmm.
Yeah. If the point of the games in the universe is that you're playing them,
right?
The users are controlling those games. Then can they do them by themselves? If not, which I would assume no. If they can't, who's playing the game that we watch?
Then really, the original Tron arcade game is nothing but torture porn then. Because if you look at that, the cone that slowly descends on the one dude has to fire his disc repeatedly at it, and then the spiders, and then the tanks. Like, that's like Saw for the digital world.
Well, it is like sort of a big difference going from the first one to this one in just sort of the inherent concept of how this works and what it's about. And, you know, doing it again today and having a new audience that has very different expectations, you expect things to make sense more. You expect to be able to scratch at it and it doesn't fall apart.
If
you think about it, like, it's really kind of bizarre. In the first movie, this is kind of a big topic, but like in Tron 1982, the whole thing is sort of supposed to be that the world in the grid is an analogy for what is inside your computer. It's actually, it's almost literal. You know,
well,
it's kind of like,
it's,
they're saying this is what's in your hard drive happening.
These programs are people too. That's what Tron is kind of about.
They're saying your little, whatever it is, Wi-Fi connection, Minesweeper, all of those things are little guys doing their jobs in your computer.
I did like seeing the dust-covered ColecoVision handheld football game that he was playing in the original movie as well.
Go ahead.
In 1982, it was literal.
Yeah. And I'm saying for this one, I think the critical difference they made is they're like, okay, it's not exactly that way. It's more like it might as well have been the Matrix. Like, he just created a virtual environment that you can go into.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll have you know there's a virtue in that because it looks fucking awesome.
Well, so, it makes more sense.
It could still be the same concept. They didn't have to change the concept to change the look.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I think they needed to update the concept because it really doesn't hold up today.
I agree with you.
The concept in 1982 is just not.
Well, in terms of what? In terms of
as an analogy,
the metaphor?
One-to-one
like
analogy?
it's not gonna hold up the way that you want to have a movie. Today.
In 1982, like, the audiences were like, "Oh yeah, that makes sense. I don't know computers." Now it's like No, that's not even kind of how that works.
Bullshit. Well, yeah, this is equally bullshit. They haven't saved anything.
No, I know, but what I'm saying
it.
Is the audience in 1982 was like, "Oh yeah, that's how computers work."
Right. But again, but they haven't but we've only moved laterally. If we're saying we have to update the concept because the audience is more sophisticated and they won't accept that concept, they've introduced a concept that's equally unacceptable. So
what have we actually accomplished? Yeah, you're right.
I will say this, for people who never saw the original Tron, this moment here, that they a lot of people I talked to who didn't see the original Tron and then saw this, firstly, I punched them. Secondly,
this is so pretty.
They didn't quite understand. It took them a while to figure out what happened here.
Yeah, right. That weird sort of it's the same place in a different field of existence thing. Where
say what you want about
it's built identically as the real world building. Doesn't
well, it's also the process of digitization. Like, I mean, say what you want about the original movie and the effect, but okay, we see a laser ripping him piece by piece and then sucking him in a tube, and then
as
he's in a game.
Cubes.
Yeah, little digital cubes. And also the track here in the soundtrack is this is one of their stronger tracks. And the first trailer that they put together, this was it. This was part of the 8 minutes that they showed at Comic-Con.
That it damn well should have been.
Exactly.
Oh, God, I love this.
Like the first 2 minutes of him being on the grid.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. Sure. Like all, and you see all this stuff, and you see all the other programs. And yeah, some people have made the argument that, oh, well, it's this game grid is a self-contained system not connected to the larger computer mainframe at large. But... then what are these other programs here?
Right, and also...
these aren't ISOs. They've already established that. These are actual non-grid programs.
And also, if you're gonna update it for the 21st century, why the fuck would you go self-contained? We're in the internet era.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Dude,
well, because think about... well,
mind blown.
Okay. Well, you're just saying, as here's what we're doing with the idea of Tron.
Yeah.
But think of what you could do with that.
Well,
you could
exactly.
have this massive, epic thing.
Well,
going
exactly.
on.
You could have this epic thing going on, and then the idea, because right now it's very silly that Clue is like, we have an army and blah blah blah, and it's like, yeah, that they're gonna scan out one at a time in the back of Flynn's arcade. But if it was an army that was going to break out, because this could still be an enclosed system, but it's connected to the web somehow. I don't know, because 20 years of development.
And he found a way to the internet?
Huh? If he found a way to the internet, yeah, and he found a way into the larger... Because it's one thing to
be
like...
Yeah, that is pretty.
Yeah.
In the chat room, Elsewhere points out this is the trope called scenery porn.
It's one...
That's pretty good.
Look at that.
It's one thing to bring out... I mean, this is... You look at this and it's like, all right, this is the one excuse... What? They have cars? They need a parking lot like Disneyland?
Right.
But
the games, man.
Yeah. Exactly. For the stadium, people they gotta park their cycles.
Which are currently inhabited, but
shitty parking translates no matter across any realm.
But you know, if it were the kind of thing where instead of him saying we're going to go out into the real world with our army and something, it's like we're about to break out of our system. We're about to go into the world at large, the world computer system, because that would cripple human society more than trying to scan out into
whoa,
the world.
Whoa, oh my God. Yeah. Hey, back out of here with your stakes you just added to the story. Drop the mic.
That's good, because I was about to say, well, what are the stakes of getting into the internet?
I told
that's
the story
not,
you
a,
the
that's
mic
not
thing.
A physical, literal impact to humans, but it would be. I mean, you with a couple lines of dialogue,
it
you'd make everyone understand how you'd be...
It impacts the way
Project
we live
Mayhem-ing
our lives.
Everyone.
Yeah, I want to say something. I love the
God,
suit updates. I love the design of
Absolutely.
The programs. I love what they do with the voice, the slight auto tune that they do. The slight, you know. I don't like the redesign of the recognizer. I really don't. I like it on its own, but I feel like what the recognizers did beforehand, they felt more ominous and more imposing. These, for some reason, feel
well. These are transport
smaller.
Ships.
Yeah, exactly.
These are we're going to pick you up. The other ones we're going to kill you. We're going to blow you.
Right, and I guess that's why they were so.
They
imposing.
Turned them from Daleks into little Segways.
And that was something that the first movie actually did. Is that they set up some of these things.
I like this.
Ahead of time. This is great. This suit up thing is.
I love that a good amount of this, as I recall,
is reversed.
Is performed backwards.
Yeah.
Just when they
walk back after they're done. Yeah.
Well, like when they walked forward, I think they were. Performing it, they walk backwards and they reverse it just to give them a weird way of moving.
I think they just have heels on. That's the whole
thing. Yeah, this is insane.
Now, Eddie was talking about it at the beginning of this that he's not a big fan of the cityscape. He thinks it should be, to follow the analogy, much more complicated.
I just want more of it.
I don't. I really like how sparse it is, and it has this weird.
Okay.
I don't know about you guys, but all of my weird dreams It's always like a brightly lit world, but the sky is black. Like there's no source of light for everything, and that's how this looks.
Let me clarify.
It's shiny and wet and foggy and very spark. I don't know.
You're referencing something that wasn't on the comic.
That's all great. But let me clarify the point. The point isn't that I don't like the design. The point isn't that I don't like Sea of Abyss. If you look at the last, like one of the last scenes of Tron, when sort of the good guys win, and you see everything wash over, there's hills, there's you know, there's objects, and there's like shit floating in the sky.
It's like the idea was that it was like a very sad, depressed world because of the oppression of MCP.
But I mean, literally, you have the city, and then it's just flat, and then you have one hill where Flynn's house is, and that's it. And it's the cold, wet, foggy. Great. Give me like some elevation changes. Give me like just make it feel like not just a plane of you know. Like,
well, they do things like out by where the portal is. There's like terrain, and then there's like water. There's like an ocean. And
yeah,
there's, like,
the power surges that they you know. Establish. I guess I would have liked more of it. There are just too many times. I think part of it is that we spend a little too much time at Flynn's pad, where we just see that flat ocean of nothing, and then a city, and
well, yeah,
like,
he's supposed to be on the
outskirts. It's like Vegas when you're coming over the hill. You know, it's like you see, oh, there's Vegas, and then there's nothing else. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see. Okay, well, let me see. Like,
maybe that's what they were going for.
Well, maybe, but like, but again, in the original one thing I liked is that you know you saw like a floating orb periodically, or like it was all poorly illustrated, but like it was conceived well, I guess.
I don't walk that cool. Does anyone else walk that cool?
Yes. I'm walking right now.
What if I was wearing that?
Big bright, yeah.
Gee, that suit is seriously awesome.
Does everybody on the left and the right like the shape of my balls?
My friend my friend Allie, she's in a dance crew called We Are Heroes. They won America's Best Dance Crew, and they got to perform at Electronica for a few weeks, and they did like a huge routine, and they got to perform basically in slightly sexier versions of that suit.
I love.
Yeah, it was insanely jealous of her.
All right. Now let's the
there you go. That's a Halloween costume. Sexy Tron suit.
Yeah,
it's not hard.
Not hard. Yeah, how about this Tron suit?
Yeah,
sexy comes with it.
If you actually, if you read up on the way they did a lot of the visual effects, a lot of them were actually programmer guys that do visual. Like, there's a lot of programmers of visual effects. They write expressions, they write plugins, etc. And they got a lot of those guys to focus on. Okay, we need to make really cool like polyhedronic fireworks. And one guy.
Here we are, Ryan.
One guy worked his ass off on the
there's a whole
page where he's talking about how this interface makes sense. By the way, the code is legit. We hate hackers, which it sucks that they put that much work into a movie that wasn't as complete in other places. But let's set aside what I'm really looking forward to, which is the conversation of okay, let's do our broad down in front fixing of Tron. Everything being said, here's how we do it. And just talk about this scene. How do you guys feel about how they upgraded the way the games work?
I'm okay with
the
games,
the actual,
by and large.
Bracketing of it?
This works. I feel there's a little bit too much melee in it.
Yeah.
The disc is a ranged weapon.
Melee?
Like punching and kicking. They're getting tight, and they're just doing like these melee exchange. That is amazing.
The de-resing is great.
Mm-hmm. I love what they do with the ricochets of the disc. I feel like they do more with the disc, but then when he fights Rinzler here in a minute, the Superman throw is great. And I like that there's a learning curve for him. I like that he's getting used to it.
It'd be cool if your personality was more in your identity disc. So when you throw it, like, Korra's would kind of go wonky and be kind of weird and hard to predict, etc.
There's a thing that they do in the Green Lantern comic where everybody's ring does something different when they fire it off that they never really took advantage of in the
movie. I just thought about that for 2 seconds.
That
sounds cooler.
But I like that he kind of fumbles with it. I like that he has to learn how to throw it.
But by the way, we just had the, the previous scene was, this is your identity disc. It is your whole life. Everything you learn, everything you know is going to be embedded on it. If you lose it or anything like that, you will be immediately derezzed. And then they're like, now throw
also
it at each
weapon.
Other.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think the idea is that it kind of comes back at you no matter what. Like, it flies, like, there's not a lot
it's
you
boomerang.
Can... boomerang. As long as
well,
it's,
but why wouldn't your objective be just as much to destroy their disc? That's their identity.
Yeah, just catch their disc and then go, neener, and run off.
Yeah, and then, I see that thing, you never actually see the disc get... You rarely do. The only time you do is in the first movie when you see Dillinger's.
Yep. I mean, it's an odd dual purpose for a thing, and they kind of have to do that because that's what they did in Tron 1918.
Right.
It's like, well,
it's
no,
disc.
I don't think it is. The identity disc was a different thing then. It wasn't, was it?
No, they called it identity
word
disc.
Word for word,
the speech
that she said of what his disc is line for line from
Dillinger,
the first
Dillinger VOs that, yeah. Dillinger VOs
in
that.
In the chat room, Elsewhere points out this is a trope called win to exit, which shows up every now and then. You can't leave until you win.
Bloodsport.
Right.
This is cool. Now, Ryan, you were. I was really interested in a video you posted on Facebook a while back, where This is the one where he flips the gravity, right?
No, that's when Rinsler's out.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, which will be coming up.
We'll come up on that in a second then. Oh, boink. He's getting better at it.
That guy sucked.
No, yeah, that guy
this thing
bad.
Came right back at him.
Well, but again, I actually buy that because they it's slave labor. Like, it's, yeah. it's gladiatorial. They take guys who don't want to be in the games and then they make them fight.
Sure. Digital Domain, high fucking five, guys.
This is amazing. Yeah,
just
this is
great job.
This, this awesome. Is the movie at its best. This is what I want more yeah. of as opposed to Sam staring longingly at Quora and saying, you know, describing
and by the way,
beauty.
FYI. It seems like you see something like this, and it just seems completely like it was just from the mind of Zeus done, and they knew what they were doing when they went into it, and it would be pretty easy to just kind of invent a scenario like an aesthetic like this that looks consistent. Absolutely not.
It does to what insane person does this seem like it would just spring into existence?
Dude,
this
they just had a pretty like you know it's like a game.
The computer
lines.
Did it, man.
Exactly. No, this is fucking awesome.
I don't think anyone fails to appreciate that.
Okay,
I don't
good.
Think you have
just
to worry
making sure.
About
that. To elaborate on that just a little bit from more of a in-depth nerdy visual effects standpoint.
Please do. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah. No. I mean, if you back up for a second and think about what are we going to make this look like? We can do anything now. And then the thing where it's like, okay, you know what? We're in a more textured world that has detail. It has dust. It has smudges. It has texture. And it has real-world physics. Like, we're going to adhere pretty fucking strictly most of the time.
Unless they decide when
they're going right. to adhere to it and when they're not, basically.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's number one. And I think that's the best way to do it because that's the most relatable. That's the most you understand it when you watch it. You don't have problems with it. Whereas you'd be constantly
Whereas
grappling with
you don't exactly
stuff
know
was,
how hard it is for Agent Smith and Neo to fly around in Revolutions. You're like, I don't understand. Is this hard? Is this really impressive? Or I can't tell.
Right, exactly.
If the movie
I
takes
really
this seriously.
I really hate slow motion. I just do. I
really?
Don't like
I'm
slow motion in action movies.
I somehow, this did not trigger my threshold. Like, I enjoyed it most of the time here. Maybe because it's already such an over-stylized thing anyway that you're
right.
looking at that I didn't have a problem with it.
Right, here we go.
But
the real quick, the thing I was talking about is Ryan was curious, and someone actually was too, and did it, to find out if the lighting makes sense. Like, if they flip over, is the lighting inverted properly
when they invert
and all
gravity,
that?
What this looks like when you flip it upside down and watch it right side up.
And
the
right.
action is not as exciting as you'd think it would be. It kind of is more interesting that it's upside down,
yeah.
and you're like, well, that's weird.
But the lighting is right. They did it right.
But the cool thing is, yeah, that they actually deliberately lit them from under so that the overhead ring of lights actually is
correct. Which I wonder how
they
must have just had lights on
the
green screen.
Well, they're standing on mirrors, so they probably just threw it all into the floor.
Really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
mirrors on a, like a green screen side?
Yeah. yeah.
From a five screen.
For all cool. this stuff, for the reflections in the
Good
glass.
Job,
like, all
guys.
Those are actual reflections to some degree.
Well, some of them are actual reflections, and some they actually, like, did a CG automation.
They rotomated it.
Which is the same thing they had to do in a lot of cases where there's big reflections on
yeah.
helmets and stuff. They
a lot
to,
of
like,
the helmets are
helmets.
Yeah, a lot of the helmets.
Anyway,
are
you were saying in
yeah.
terms of all the real world things I did and keeping the physics the
yeah.
same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then also, if you think about it, okay, so you have this movie that is supposed to be sparse, dark space defined by highlights of color, right?
Right.
That's kind of that's basically the aesthetic. So how do you make that like a really full, robust like
world
viewing
and not
experience?
A cool desktop render?
And so if you start to look at it and get your eyes away from just the bright things and look at the scanline textures in that stuff. Look at there's little rainbow colorful bits of chromatic detail that are like moving around through the glass cracks on the grid.
Yeah.
There's smudge on the glass when they reflect things and you move past stuff. Later on when they're on like
there,
the big
there are
ship,
no perfect spec maps in a world
well,
full
they,
of glass.
I just read the Cinefex and they talked about in the Rectifier, the big ship. They
yeah.
were like, well, it's a you know, perfect, it's a computer world, so it's all flat and polished and stuff like that, but there's tanks and people walking around, so there should probably be scuffed up, but would a tank actually scuff things up in a virtual world?
Well, that's
like,
exactly
they had to make
the,
these
that's the weird thing that if you start thinking too hard about it, it's like, well, you know.
Yeah.
And so they always erred on the side of making it look like it was actually real and, yeah. and sort of inhabited, and I think that really works.
The hero shot works. That first shot was pretty good.
The hero shot, yeah.
And
what's,
once he starts talking, it doesn't work.
Right.
When I saw, we saw
properly.
This at Comic-Con, and when he comes down those steps, my initial reaction was his head has its own swagger.
It's bobbly.
Right,
yeah.
You know, he's kind
of...
And I'll bet you it's a thing where they're like fucking perfectly tracking what his head is doing,
mm-hmm.
and it's just something that just doesn't
it's
work.
It's just weird. Yeah.
Now, it doesn't get truly bad, clue-wise, until the very end, and especially the last shot where he's
right,
trying
yeah.
to get in the portal, and you see his face, and he's like...
And he's just completely front-lit, and it's like... Ugh!
His face...
It looks like an OpenGL face.
The face, yeah. even though they did a... First of all, they did a
Your
weird
mom looks
thing
like an OpenGL face.
Where it...
She can't help it.
They had four cameras on his face, but they were all around his jawline. Like, right. they should have put
two... Have you seen Jeff Bridges, man?
They should have put two up near the top of his head because everything is... The data is going to be very jaw-heavy, and that's kind of how it feels in one aspect. But it also just feels animated. It feels like they're tugging and pulling the shapes of his face as opposed to the movement of muscles
exactly.
under the skin.
That's right. exactly right. Although, I'm maintaining... His hair is totally working.
Any
shot
in
the back of his hair is like, God damn, guys.
I do love the costume design of his sort of royal
I'll remind you
emperor.
That if you're looking at shots of the back of his head, it's probably just the double and his real hair.
Good point.
Now this is my VFX noob stuff happening, but someone attributed to the performance capture on his face the idea that Jeff Bridges
his
is older,
skin is
his
less
skin
elastic.
Is saggy,
it's jiggly.
I think
elastic.
I said that.
His
that,
face
that,
is
that's
different
also probably
these
true.
Days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might be
so
part
when
of
they
it.
Map it onto a taut, handsome, young, spry. Early 30s Jeff Bridges, it doesn't quite...
Yeah.
What
well,
I don't
it's
understand...
Also, it's also the like, crocodile tears, like, aspect. Like, when
right.
you're smiling at someone, but it doesn't reach your eyes,
right,
they know you're...
Right,
His facial expressions don't go above his cheekbones a lot
right.
of the time, unless
sure.
his eyes are actually engaged with
And
them.
By the
and
way, unfortunately, these are all things that they probably would have figured out and got to.
Oh, yeah.
If they
yeah.
had
it's
time.
Not... It's, they Yeah, they were not unaware of these issues, but they
sure.
had to crank out this
exactly.
movie, you know?
Exactly.
But
one other thing on Tron, Clue real fast, that comes up a lot later. One thing that I do think they did well on that, aside from the face, is I think that they did a really good job with having Jeff Bridges there on set doing
yeah.
a run-through performance, and then his collaboration with the guy who is playing his body in his performance was really, really good. And if you look at the footage, like, they're very, like, you know, he's like, oh, I might come over here, but I turn. Like, you see what I did with my hand, and I kind of went like
right.
this. And
the
I
guy
gestured.
Is channeling Jeff
like,
Bridges.
Like, he's really getting it down. And I think for the most part, what he's saying and what he's doing
match up.
Is really, really good.
Yeah.
It's just his face looks like weirdness.
I also
like
want to say,
Price.
Going off of VFX for a moment and talking about the actual script, the
oh,
story.
What are you, some kind of faggot?
Yeah. As a matter of fact.
It's funny you should mention
it's
that.
It's funny you should mention
By the
that.
Way, they play a game real quick where they say, they're trying to make you think maybe Cora's not a chick, but her establishing shot, she has bare shoulders, so the whole get in doesn't really mix.
Yeah.
And cyber
Nobody
boobs.
Went, oh my God, it's a hot girl.
She very clearly has breasts. I mean,
yeah.
it's...
But there's the whole bit where he introduces himself, you know, Clue introduces himself, and Sam thinks it's Flynn. And he's like, "Hey, we can just go home now." And he's like, "Nah, that's not going to happen. I'm not your father." Later on, it's like, but his whole thing is, I want to get out. So it's like, why doesn't Clue take advantage of the fact that Sam
he's
is
like,
confused
"Yeah, let's go, buddy,"
and be like, "Yeah, I'm your, you know, let's go and do it." And then you have the weirdness of. You know, Sam has been missing his father all this time, but Clue is just such a shit to him.
Yeah, he's
you know?
Kind of a dick.
But he's pretending to be his father, so he's like, I've been missing you for 20 years, and I come and try and help you, and this is how you repay me, and blah blah blah. And then eventually you meet the real Kevin Flynn, and you're like, oh, Clue was an imposter. And then
right,
they've got to
right.
and then they've got to fix their relationship even more because
right.
he's got it in his head, my dad is a dick. To me,
right,
and doesn't appreciate it, and it's like, no, I know that wasn't him, but I've just got these emotions wrapped up in that.
No one that I've heard anywhere in the conversations I've seen online or in person about this movie since it came out has ever done this, but I want to make sure that if this guy ever listened to this commentary, he knows the guy that's Clue's assistant. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's
yeah,
kind
he's
of
cool.
born to play this role. And
I'll give
nothing
you,
else.
And I exactly. I love that guy. He's like, I'll give
great.
You a hint. Not that. That's just I just love that guy so much. He's great. And by the way, he is the only one in the movie. Here's the shot they spent a
solid
thousand
boner,
years on.
Like solid boner on this one.
Oh
this
yep.
Is, it's
and,
very nice.
And Andrew Kramer
cool.
says hi from his little pile of money. I don't know if
please.
They use optical flyers on that
no,
or not, but
whatever.
The what I was gonna say is.
Yeah, his pile of money because they spent $99 on the plug-in. What are you talking about? Or 200.
You know what? Hey, I'm going to talk about the lens first for a second, pal. Because, like, one thing that is really cool, along the lines of what I was talking about earlier with sort of the detail and just what do you do between the obviousness of what the aesthetic is, there's all kinds of really cool little things happening that are way beyond just plug-in shit, which
no,
is,
I know.
Like,
I,
all the chromatic aberrations, and there's,
oh, yeah.
like, scan lines
I'm sure they designed
and stuff.
A bunch of stuff.
There's
yeah.
a lot of weird sort of synthetic
I especially like
things
when the
happen.
Highlights in the frame reflect inverted. That happens all the time in the real world,
yeah.
but I haven't seen that in a...
It is true.
I was kidding.
Okay.
These are beautiful lens flares. I was throwing them under the bus to be a dick for comedy purposes.
Yes.
Anyway, what I was going to say is that guy. I know. No one got it, so I just was a dick, basically.
Most of his dialogue, by the way, is fucking...
Who, Ryan's?
Garrett Hedlund. His, or whatever, his Sam.
Yeah, you got it right. Yeah.
All of his dialogue is like trailer lines. It's all like, here we go, you got to be kidding me.
This movie is
happening. Like, yeah. that's all he says.
Not only that, but, like, earlier when he's captured by the guards and taken to see Clue for the first time, he's like, freaks.
I feel like I just got slam dunked on.
Yeah, it's just, exactly. And I gotta say, I love the design of the cycles.
I love the wobbly glass.
I love when they blow up and it's all liquidy in there.
Exactly. I'm not sure.
Oh, shut up, Eddie.
Like,
just stop now.
Hold on.
It's awesome.
I'm just gonna go with this. I like the three-dimensional aspects and everything. And I don't mind that they bend, but... something about this, the original light cycle sequence just felt a bit more urgent and more.
Well, this
scarier.
betrays the original concept.
The 90-degree angles.
You know, the whole thing was like you're playing Snake.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Now this is not Snake at all because now you can curve and you can go in any direction.
Right.
You can go up and down and go around.
Yeah. You're
so
not.
Sort of,
well,
not,
the trick of Snake is that you can't go where you've already been.
Yeah.
Now,
they're in that
coin roller thing that you see for charities.
Exactly. The trick of Snake is that you have a limited.
Amount of space.
You're basically drawing
strategy.
A fence behind yourself.
Yeah, and you're drawing a fence, and you're slowly boxing yourself in, and you just have to box in the other guy faster.
I think you could have the exact same scene, and it would work a little bit better if in the background tracked in, you saw leftover trails just sitting there, like, God, they really can't go anywhere now. It would increase
your
feeling.
But they need to play with that. They need to utilize that. They can't just have it back there. They have to be like, oh, I can't go there. Oh crap, I have nowhere to go. I'm trapped.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh no, I'm fine because I can jump.
You know what? You're right.
Well, and that's why I like
three shot sequence. Just one of the bad guys going, shit, boom.
They really only do it like to each other when they're right there. They never utilize the paths already being there.
They basically just clothesline them.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
The other sense of urgency from the original is that you can make, you only turn to 90-degree angles.
Yeah.
You
know, God, that
only,
is sexy.
It looks great, but again,
but
only
90-degree
angles. Like,
yeah,
here,
there's no sense of, like you said, no sense of urgency.
And that's a callback to the original one where like the two cycles basically do two very sharp turns to box the other guy in.
Yeah.
And that was cool because it took like such precise timing on their part to do it.
And you're allowed to turn the trails on and off?
I don't mind that so much. I don't mind that as much as like...
Again, it betrays the concept of what they're supposed to be doing.
So although this looks amazing and it's got a good energy to it and there's things about it I love, I'm like... It's part of the reason why light jets don't work. You know, light jets are that to the third dimension. And it's like, okay, you know? You're leaving a trail. Okay, I'll fly up then.
Why did and why? Fly.
It's pretty easy to avoid.
Yeah.
And why did you build that in? Did you expect to do this?
Right.
But when it comes to light jets, but it's all very pretty, but it makes no sense and has no.
One of the things I was going to say about that guy who I'm in love with, Clue's assistant, is that he is one of the only ones in the movie that very specifically looks exactly like the characters in the original Tron did, which is they have this very flat color scheme across their face kind of a thick eyelinery, like night eyeliner look thing going on in their eyes. And it's just a very cool look that I don't see anywhere else as much. All the other guys have hair and stuff like that, which I don't seem to recall. Maybe they just all had hats in Tron. I don't remember.
Yeah,
hair.
They all had helmets. Little
helmets.
Like,
yeah, helmets,
right.
Yeah.
Here's what I was saying. Illegal combatant on the grid who came in through the open door.
Yeah.
It's just.
Presumably she blew holes in the wall, just like how she exits.
I guess. And just like how they got off the grid.
It's like how the T-Rex got into the thing at the end.
Maybe they tried first and didn't work out, and I'm just being redundant, and they already gave it a shot.
So, like, okay, so.
Oh, those are cool.
You can sort of do invert gravity on this glass stuff. It's like there are odd little ways that they sort of break the physics that are otherwise very rigid.
Right,
which
and,
is kind of interesting.
And again, it's like, oh, okay, you can do that. What do you do? Oh, it was just that shot.
Just that shot.
Just
for that.
Okay.
Just
and
for
here's
that.
The thing. I like the light SUV doesn't... It's
light dune buggy?
Tumbler.
I would have liked to have seen it split off into two separate cycles. Like if it had like a cool thing it could do where they could separate and then rejoin. And I don't know. It's just, it looks like a weird...
They do a pretty good job making
it looks like an
Rinsler
Audi.
Badass. Yeah.
God damn, this is a sexy movie.
It's like Audi made a dune buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, how do you guys feel about... Actually, I guess maybe Ryan's the only one's going to have an opinion on this, but how do you feel about their representation of the uncharted wasteland digital frontier?
It's fine.
It makes as little sense as everything else.
It's a neat thing, empty hard drive space. It's all either 30, 60, or 90-degree angles on all of the landscape.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Is that what they said in SinFX?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Olivia Wilde. I love you so much. I want to have
this is one of my favorite cues in the movie, by the way. The music that's playing right now.
What's going on right here?
The highly orchestral stuff. It's Outlands.
Oh, right.
Is the track name.
Yeah.
It's before Adagio for Tron.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Olivia Wilde is one. But Olivia Wilde is one of those actresses where I see her and I'm like, well, you have yet to play a human, and I understand why.
I actually hate this part right here. She's looking at him, pushes the thing. Like, she's looking at him for like 10 seconds. Yeah. I'm like, you're driving through dangerous terrain.
Yeah.
You should probably look because and then I won't.
What's
going to
happen?
Will
derez?
Now, here's the thing. I like how she plays her character. When you understand what her character is, it's great and it makes sense. But because you don't know what she is at this point, and she's just kind of hamming it up from the get go, you're like, what? I remember seeing this scene independent of itself before the movie and not knowing anything about her. I'm like, wow, she's bad. Like, she's, you know, she's just like,
but she's just weird.
Because
she's
in context, weird, yeah. in the movie, I feel like she's the only. Okay,
she has a
sliding scale.
Yeah.
Sliding scale, but I feel like she's the only person in the fucking movie.
Absolutely,
she's the only one that has life. Breathes at all in the movie.
That's why the
I
last
really
shot,
like her in this. I think she's doing better than everyone else is in this movie.
Couldn't agree more. The last shot of this
you
movie.
Said she was bad, Eddie. Dude.
No. I'm saying like when you don't understand what her character is.
Where she sees
is,
the sun and she puts her head on his back.
Exactly. And like there's that last shot. I'm like, that's a cool shot to end on. I like that shot.
Thank you, Elsewhere. That's a perfect trope for it. She is badass adorable.
Okay. But here's the thing, though. She never really displays badassdom. They play her as like this. They reference her almost as like a warrior, but you very rarely see her war. And,
there's a lot of unshown shit in this movie. You're really pointing that out to me. You're right. Yeah. There's a lot of things where, and someone in the forum was talking about how in the beginning, and actually not in the beginning,
it's
what's about to happen, where she's like, it's still, here's
your
Jeff Bridges'
light cycle.
It's still the fastest thing on the grid. And he said, and that never comes up again. And I countered. I said, well, the next time you see it, it's like, oh my God, it's gone.
He's,
and then he's racing
he stole
into the city.
It and he's racing into the city.
But,
and then
the
more
I thought about it, the more
guy,
it's like, you know, there really should have been a scene where it's like, all right, let's see the fastest thing on the fucking grid.
Yeah.
Now, this movie does not feel like an action movie, and I don't mind, but
it's
I wouldn't mind
not.
If it was an action movie either.
It's an action movie for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, very
little
action.
Well, they keep trying to turn it into an action movie. They're like, oh, it's time for an action beat, so there's a fight in a club
for
some reason.
This movie feels very calculated and very contemplative, and then every now and then it's like, okay, jets. All right, light cycles.
Yeah, well, it's calculated and contemplative, but what is it contemplating? Nothing. It's just like, hey, look how pretty.
I feel like it's conceptual musical chairs. They had all these elements that they wanted
to work
there's in.
There's so many things.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. If there's...
And
if,
the music if, stopped and not yeah. everything found a seat.
Yeah, if there's any one thing that you can really boil it down to, it's like there are just too many ideas. And they don't gel together. They've just thrown it like the whole thing with the ISOs that we're about to get to. It's like there is no reason to have that in the movie other than the fact that that's what Quora is and that explains her.
But even so, she could just be a regular program disciple of Flynn's. That's good enough.
She could be the bleeding edge of. Programs that are starting to think on their own and be their own.
That would be better for the sequel.
Well, that's what I was about to say
sequel,
is,
ISOs will be great.
Let me float
the
this. Is there a way, put your Matrix Reloaded Phantom Menace hat on and go, is there a way that this is actually a really good introduction to a trilogy or something like that? It's setting everything up. It's saying, all right, here's all these pieces. And then the next movie is all about ISOs and Cillian Murphy.
It's not going to be all about ISOs because the ISOs have been genocided. She's the only one left. All of that happened before this movie started.
What I'm saying is, whatever powers she has as an ISO become evident in the next movie, etc.
I guess she. I don't know
because I love this world, and I feel like they've set up a world, at least kind of ham-fistedly, but they've set up a world to play in for a couple movies.
But they threw everything away. The ISOs have all been destroyed. Clue is destroyed. Tron is there, I guess.
And Jeff Bridges, and Jeff Bridges dies.
They would have no reason to go back into the system.
It's a big sandbox with not enough sand. Like,
yeah,
it's.
You're right. The only way they could make this bigger and make it a thingy, like, there would be no, someone could think about this for a few weeks and maybe come up with something, but there would be no really compelling reason for Cillian Murphy to go in, and if he did, we don't have a particular reason to care because
Cillian
nothing
Murphy
we care about is
going,
in there.
But
if they made it a cloud thing, somehow...
That's what I'm talking about right there, by the way. That shot, like, I want to see more than just a plane. I want to see the city, and then maybe fine. But,
captioning. I'm pretty sure that wasn't a chuckle that Flynn just did, looking sadly and mournfully over the city.
Right.
I'm pretty sure that was a sob, not a chuckle.
He exhales. It's like it is. Sure, it is. By the way, his apartment here is supposed to be hidden. It's the only lit thing exactly. on top of a hill in direct sight of the portal.
Here we go. Here he starts just saying things.
Right, exactly. Now, he, and it, this is one of her better things. Like, oh, you know Dostoevsky? What's he like? You know, uh-huh. I like her
Jules
stuff
Verne,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where? Yeah. How did this get
I
in?
Love that moment myself.
There we go. Tolstoy, Dostoevsky. Where, first of all, where did what does that mean to what thematically? What are we supposed to understand about the fact that he has those books?
He's an intellectual.
Right.
Exactly. But smart guy has smart things.
Right.
But
he displays none of these things, that like the I Ching. He displays nothing about the I Ching.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. And also, where did he get these books?
Right,
Project Gutenberg. Like, did he type them
one by one? I think he could like over. He built a place. They over time he could bring in his personal library. Just have something to do when he's there.
Along similar lines, yeah. I'm curious where the pig that they eat for dinner came from.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. When they start eating food,
I think the movie
seems implicated that there's a construct somewhere.
this thing right here exists for no other reason than for the trailer. That has nothing to do with anything
right.
other than they needed to show a passage of time.
Yeah,
like that. Come on.
Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you were the one who was trying to go after him. I'm pretty
sure. They're just trying to remind you that there's some sort of malicious intent out there.
Let me ask you this. If it appears, I don't think this movie happened entirely by accident. It might have happened for lack of like surgical planning. It wasn't developed to that level. I'm sure they worked on it a lot. But assuming that their intention was not to make a rip-roaring, amazing, Matrix-y, thrillery, cool Tron movie, they were going for more of a, like a laid-back, thinky, with cool scenes.
That's fine,
of action.
But there's no story.
Exactly. Is there a version of that could work?
Absolutely.
It's all about these guys having this conversation in this dining room, and it's enthralling and interesting, and you're involved in it.
That's superficial,
In your Tron movie, where if you're going to subvert expectations and have a lot of,
I don't think there's a version of this where sitting around the computer dinner table eating computer pork chops works. I don't think
it's an odd thing.
It's a very silly moment.
I get what they're going for, which is like that awkward, like, so haven't seen you in 30 years. Yeah. How are you? You know, I get what they're going for, but it just, again, bag of ideas. This found a seat, and yet the Flynn's light cycle didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just this found a place at the table, no pun intended, and do we really need it?
By the way, another superficial thing, what we were talking about, the differences between the first one and this one in terms of like what exactly the grid is supposed to be and how this works and how much of a metaphor it is and how much it is literal. It's like they're eating actual food here, but in the first one, it was clearly meant to, like, water is the energy. You
power
just
surge.
Need energy, so you drink it because that's the analogy for getting power.
And they're drinking that now. It's in the carafe, and it's in their cyber flutes.
I feel like,
yeah, I guess.
I feel like, to an extent.
But they're eating matter. They're eating flesh.
Right.
This whole bit, while they're in Flynn's apartment, it feels almost like the movie has forgotten it's in a computer, other than superficially.
Yeah. Whereas, say what you want about the first movie, you never forgot you were in the game in the first one.
But I think they're trying to say, like, well, this is the little home that Flynn would have built, which is more earthy and more real world.
True.
You know?
So, yeah, he may design it so that he gets to eat because he misses it.
To.
Yeah, he wants to.
Now, this is one of those things where it's like, I think I mentioned this in Priest. At the beginning of Priest, where you've seen the little cartoony thing, where you show in flashbacks like the backstory exposition shit, and I'm sitting here thinking, dude, that's the movie, that's the shit.
Right.
If you're gonna do a world building saga type thing with this, where your intention is that we got to hook the whole world so they pay money to watch this, so we can do our sequels, but the intention of this one is to say, here's how this shit started, like Lord of the Rings style, like we have a fucking plan for three movies. Start with this and the whole building of the world, because you could do some really cool Bruce Brannett world builder shit with it, and you could bring in and you have.
I don't think you can make a whole movie out of that.
Well, not the whole movie out of that, but start there and move forward from there, and then have this thing where our hero. Well, you can't do that at Jeff Bridges. They don't need Jeff Bridges. They don't. Why is Jeff Bridges in this movie?
No, it's for a movie called Tron Legacy. It should be called Flynn Legacy, and there's no legacy. Like,
well,
you're
gonna lobby the same complaint against the original Tron too.
I fully agree, but I guess what I'm saying is that. But no, Tron was the hero.
Oh.
He actually
Tron actually
yeah,
saved the day.
True. I guess that's true.
You know,
he's the one who destroyed the MCP.
All right, I'll take
you like comic books, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you read Tron Uprising?
Okay, here's what I'm gonna say. Here's what I'm gonna say about that. I know that there is a whole comic book backstory that logically explains all of the narrative gaps in this movie. But I'm watching this movie. I'm not reading the comic book. And I don't care. And yes, I'm a comic book guy. But like, if I'm if I'm talking about this film as a film, the film needs to stand on its own.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Star Trek. I like the Abrams Star Trek, but there was a comic prequel series that filled in a lot of gaps,
right.
And Worf was there, and Data was there, and great. But I watched that. I enjoy the movie.
You want the movie? Yeah, exactly.
Right. So I appreciate that they're creating a whole expanded universe that's going to do more with that. Great. But in terms
it's
of
like they got it backwards.
The theater, yeah, in terms of me in a theater, and let's think, the first 15 minutes of this movie where you introduce Cillian Murphy as Dillinger's son, and Dillinger does some mysterious shit on his laptop, and the problem is solved. And again, after this, they did a whole, on the DVD of this, they have like webisodes that have a direct interaction with Dillinger, the original Dillinger, in the game grid, communicating with Cillian Murphy. Great, put it in a movie, and I'll like the movie. You know,
okay, well, what are you saying? That you can't use any of the characters that are in your movie if you're making some sort of extended
No,
problem?
No, the
no,
other
no,
thing.
I'm saying
the other thing.
You can't solve your problems based on supplemental material.
Yeah, you can't say, oh, that makes sense if you read the comic.
Okay, I agree with that, but I'm not. I don't think that Joseph Kosinski was like, oh, we'll explain this in a comic.
No, I'm sure they didn't. But what I'm saying is that I think similar to what Genndy Tartakovsky did in the Clone Wars animated series,
sure.
He filled in some gaps.
He's trying to save it.
He's trying
to run
exactly.
in and patch holes.
Exactly. They gave him the baton, and he's like, oh, fuck, I got to do that. And then he does that thing.
When he hits him, there are like these little digital hits in the video.
I
if you go in and
this.
Freeze frame it, there's like little like credit card numbers and stuff. In
right.
It. It's pretty cool.
I like the idea of Tron becoming corrupted, but like that's a strong enough narrative. That should be happening in the middle of your movie.
Check this out. Let me read you the Seth Brower is hooking me up with all this information. He's cool. He's our new fake Vader. Let me read you the plot description of the comic book that came out before the movie. Just so you can see what we're talking about and how this may or may not be good for a movie. The series, comic book series, is set in 1983, shortly after the events of the original Tron. Kevin Flynn has become the CEO of fictional software company Encom, which he has built into the largest video game company in the world, and as a personal project, Flynn has been secretly building The Grid, a virtual world filled with increasingly sentient programs. Designed as an environment where he can build and test worlds limited only by his imagination, The Grid eventually becomes more complex than he intended, including the generation of isomorphic programs dubbed ISOs, who spontaneously emerge within the grid, as opposed to the basics, which becomes the term for the programs created by Flynn. As his responsibilities in the real world grow, he creates Clue 2, an updated version of the original Clue program, which was seen in the first film. As this
so
new
far
world...
you're describing what we're watching.
Yeah, so far you're Let's describing me... the
it's
last
a,
five
a
minutes.
Well, I know, that's what I'm saying. As this new world and his creations develop both a life of their own, Flynn must cope with both worlds, and Clue 2 must cope while Flynn is away. In Flynn's absence, Clue 2 becomes more and more prejudiced against the ISOs, perceiving them to be a threat to the perfect system, blah, 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 this stuff. Anyway, it's basically
this stuff.
But there's a lot of meat.
But
he's
saying that would that make a better movie
that
than what we're
watching? Well, that
right
could have made a good movie.
If you're doing three movies.
But we would have had to stare at CG Jeff Bridges
well, that's what
the
I,
whole time.
That's when I got to the conclusion earlier. I'm like, guys, I know he was in the original, but nope. Let's get
well,
some.
That would have been a great movie to make in 1990.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like yeah. that would have been a great movie in 19 if they didn't wait 26
yeah.
years.
Well, I don't think there was never. It took like 25 years of not only do you have to remember having seen it as a child, but also remember little about it and be excited about the look to get this movie made. Like it wasn't like oh my god, they're making Transformers. I love Transformers. It's I remember liking Tron. That was cool.
I remember.
But you don't actually remember what the movie was.
I remember the original reel they showed at Comic-Con 2007. It was
yeah.
called Tron. When it was
Tron
Light Cycle Jump,
spelled Elite Seek. If they had done it that way, where it was a fully CGI movie.
No.
With just like the faces, I wouldn't have necessarily minded that. I prefer
okay,
that slide.
All right. Well,
but here's what I'm saying, and I guess what I'm saying, my point is that in that scene. The way it looks like they got Jeff Bridges to do a thing, and he does essentially where he stands up and it looks like he's looking out over the younger version of himself executing another player.
Right.
And so the speculation was at the time is that
He's the villain.
He became like this Bill Gates like figure and sort of like messianic, and so he enters and he lives in this world. That's more compelling.
Well, it's also we talked about this when we did Dark City. It was the story, the story is about John Murdoch.
Right.
Abolish, driving away the strangers and
right.
all that stuff. And they, Proya said, if I ever did a sequel, Murdoch would be the villain
right.
because he would have just got this messiah complex, and he's in charge of the world. He becomes like the mm-hmm. strangers.
Mm-hmm. I think it would have been more compelling if, Flynn's in the real world and basically drives NCOM to release operating systems and all this other stuff like that. I mean,
if he's trying to expand his reach,
right.
through the grid
and
stuff
his
like
son
that,
has
he's
to stop him
he's
somehow.
Become the master okay. control yeah. program right. in a sense.
Yeah. Now
that could be interesting, but yeah. can I just say, because we finally talked about the ISOs, it's like there's a whole thing about, oh, it would revolutionize, you know, science and religion and blah blah blah. I'm like, really?
How?
The fact first, well, you know, the sentient programs and stuff like that, I can kind of get that, because it's like, you know, life and intelligence,
if you create programs,
aren't created
yeah. Mm.
if we can create programs, or if we can create a computer and the programs can kind of spontaneously create themselves, that does have a lot of implications. But at the same time, like, so it's not revolutionizing any of those things that you can scan your entire being into a computer and then back out again.
Yeah,
you created
a transporter at the very least.
Yeah, exactly.
That completely changes the world.
Yeah, but we haven't talked about that. But the ISOs, that's crazy.
Sure.
It's like, what are those, like, you know, sometimes you see it on Twitter, you know, just chain stories, everybody adds a sentence to something and then it gets passed around. And I feel like, and I don't know off the top of my head how many writers this had and the sort of the journey the script had, but it does feel like a lot of elements being slapped onto it and sort of the, you know, stratified layers of story.
It has a little bit of a Crystal Skull syndrome thing, kind of. I guess
not as bad as Crystal Skull. I think Crystal Skull is sort of the gold standard and script passed, you know, desperately from person to person. But yeah.
Wow, Jesus just walked in. Brian Finnepter showed up and he's beardier than
Brian
ever.
Has a beard.
Right.
The same amount of beard that he's had before.
Well, he's just beardier and your hair. Oh, you look like Jesus. That's cool. Anyway, what I was going to say is,
what are you drinking?
What do you think Jesus looks like?
Brian. Prove he doesn't.
Yeah. That's a closed loop of logic.
Anyway, right? What I was going to say is, it's let's do the down in front thing. Now, second question
that's
first.
That's what we were doing for the last hour.
Well, oh, I'm sorry. Let's start over. Everyone pause your DVD and skip back to the beginning, because apparently
ladies
we haven't been
down
doing
in front.
That the whole time.
Anyway, let's do the down in front thing. And a separate question first. It might be the same question, but it might not. The obvious question is, if you're going to reboot Tron and try to get the whole world involved, is this the movie you make? A version of this movie, at least. Do you not do the war? Do you do the young guy comes in, he refuses the call, and he enters the underworld, and he finds the, you know, just this sort of thing?
Yes.
Or do you, yes?
I'm fine with this.
Okay,
in
cool.
concept.
So how do yeah. you, so what's, what are the problems? You don't care about the characters. There's like one or two many ideas that they try to give you enough of that you're like, yep, that idea was completed. If they just didn't try that, we could have more time spent on other existing ideas in the world. That kind of thing, just streamlining the script, fixing kind of stuff, or is there big problems with it?
I kind of laid out mine, but in a minute, just very briefly, remove the whole concept of ISOs. You don't need it.
Okay.
Bring in Dillinger as the, bring in Killian Murphy as Dillinger's son.
As a bad guy in the grid.
He's trying to reconstitute his father who's lost in there somehow, and they're going to do something that's bad for both the game world and the real world simultaneously.
Six.
You know, maybe Flynn is in there stuck because of Dillinger. I don't know. Create a more direct conflict that has real world implications aside from bringing in an army of creations through, you know, Flynn's
one
basement.
one hole,
yeah, like that's a hell of a logjam. But I mean, basically, do you know, create. I think Sam needs his own antagonist, and he needs his own purpose outside of I miss my dad. And I think Flynn needs something immediate to do with Dillinger. I think they should be locked in sort of internal struggle. Dillinger should be like this hate revenge fueled, because I mean, when we leave Dillinger at the end of the first movie, he's got plenty of reason to be pissed off. Like, I mean, he's lost
sure.
everything, and yeah. he's not talented enough, as they established as Flynn mm-hmm, is mm-hmm. in order to have sort of direct revenge or to outperform him in the future. He's got to have sort of asymmetrical revenge, which involves the game grid somehow. Have Dillinger's son, Killian Murphy, have a more direct, well-established conflict with Sam in the real world. And maybe Killian's already going in and out of the game grid doing his thing. Then have Sam sucked into it and have like enough conflict for everybody. That's my basic fix.
I think what you've basically boiled it down to, whether or not the specifics, and that's cool. That's very cool. But the more important thing is that there's not enough conflict. We just sat around. We literally sat around with the heroes not having any kind of conflict other than they're stuck. And then we even cut back to the villain having no conflict and going, come on, I need some conflict already.
Right. I was at work yesterday, and we had to restructure our entire show. And at the very end of it, we made an act four that was previously part of act five. And at the very end, me and my producer looked at each other and we're like, this is a really good act considering nothing happens. Yeah. Like, we essentially punted the ball for an entire act.
Sure, yeah.
And that's what I feel like a lot of what happens here is that the ball, like this whole diversion in the D-Rez Club, I feel like it's one big punt until we get to something a bit
more.
Yeah,
it is, definitely. You know?
It's, you know. I love Martin Sheen.
Especially since he just kills him at the end, so it's like, well, whatever you might have done later is
yeah.
over.
Martin Sheen just goes full Honey Badger in this one. He,
does, really does.
He does not
really
give
does.
A shit.
And he didn't give a shit at the panel. At the panel, he remember, he was so just, I'm in Tron! Like, he's just, he was so happy just to, he's like, what do you want me to do? You want me to push a broom? Great, I'm in Tron. Like, he was legitimately just happy to be there and be a hammy bad guy.
I do. There is something about actors.
Being a hammy bad guy is fun.
I just love an actor who can say, what? I don't care. All right. Say go, and I will be the most charismatic person ever. And he's
I just did Tony Blair. I would like to go David Bowie.
Exactly.
I've done Tony Blair in five movies.
Yeah.
He's walking around like Charlie Chaplin, and he's doing the thing, and he's doing little chorus line moves, and he's just like, he's just fucking fun as hell.
I remember that first trailer. Everything looks awesome, and you kind of figure what everything is, and then you see him playing air guitar on his light-up cane, and you're like, That's new.
I don't know what that is.
That's the part where the movie loses mind for about 20 seconds.
Right.
We'll
but so is the music.
But hey, we got Daft Punk in a music playing themselves.
But actually, that's another thing. I figured that was going to be when like you said, you just see that one shot of him doing that. I'm like, that's probably the villain.
He's the bad guy.
He's some crazy guy who's just taking complete control of
the grid.
He's forcing people into these gladiatorial contests, and you know, he's enjoying himself and stuff like that. And he's like, he's playing that character, but just as a club guy who just occasionally
just kind of a he's kind of a sketchy guy.
It's like what Patton Oswalt says about Sandwich Joe in the Bible. Like, do we really need him? Like, can't we just give his powers to somebody else?
What does Clue want specifically?
He wants to get Flynn's disc so he can take the whole thing with all his guys through the portal
into the real world.
Presumably take them all into the basement.
But again,
Flynn's dot dot dot.
Why?
Take over the world.
World domination.
Question mark
profit.
Okay, exactly.
Okay, why?
Yeah, exactly.
He's king.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, and this is my
no
biggest...
No one questions his rule.
This is on the top three list of like biggest problems with the movie is Clue's motivation is what is more boring than the computer version that seeking perfection so much that then he just says, oh, you, who created me, are imperfect too. Right. I'm going to destroy that. I'm going to destroy these guys. I'm going to go to the Earth and destroy
iRobot and blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to destroy it so there is nothing left. Then it will be a perfect system.
There's a trope called AI is a crapshoot, which is exactly that.
Yeah, but it's like, dude,
it's the most boring thing that he could... could do with his character.
Yeah, if he didn't like how contained the system is, you know, if he's like, I want to get out into a bigger system. I'm living, you know, I've been living in the same thing. Which actually, if I'm recalling correctly, is Koopa's motivation in the Mario Brothers movie. Now that I'm thinking about it,
Matt Veda points out, what's the threat if Clue gets out?
Well, he has a bunch of humans.
Well, he has no powers in the real world. He's a guy with a bunch of people who agree with him.
Yeah, and
that makes him Will Wheaton. What is that going to do?
Hey, that was enough for Hitler.
A lot of frisbees, and a few tanks. I think they show them like some sort of arm.
I would love if
Clue shows up with like frisbees. He's like, everyone back down. It just hits someone in the face. Like,
ding. How about no?
Guys, we have helicarriers with machine guns.
Yeah, he's in for a sore disappointment of the real world.
Thousand guys.
Shit is way cooler in this world. Like, I would
the
not
Oakland police
leave.
Just took out 1,000 guys. Like, it's not a big deal.
It's true.
Timestamp. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I like how she has light-up cleavage.
I like just her shape.
Ryan,
like
why don't you have light-up cleavage?
Why don't I?
It's a valid question.
You're not paying.
Shit. That's as good as answer as any of them.
God damn it.
I love her and like she's part of the quad, you know, the quadrivite or the basically she's one of those chicks that helped dress him earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe she's a personal shopper.
I also find it weird. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I want more of her. Do something with her that's different, you know.
Right, but that was also weird where it's like they come out of their box to dress people for the games and then go back into their boxes.
Like, oh, I'm off duty.
And then it's like, yeah, oh,
but
yeah.
That's the most
specific... I only live in a cage for eight hours.
But
I'm only here till 5. Yeah.
I like that because that's the most like the original Tron. Those are the prep for games programs. They tell you what you need to do.
It's like there's a guy who's built into a table what he is.
Whereas,
lives his existence.
Yeah,
there.
Whereas in this, he's not actually built into the table. That's just where he sits, and then he'll walk around with a light-up umbrella.
A clock chimes, and then he gets up and goes to yeah. bar.
I mean, the general good analogy point. Of the Very first good point. One was that yeah, everything that we have machines do, that's their job as well. Like yeah. they go to work, they do their thing.
They're not intelligent. They're they not, just do a thing.
They just do a thing. But they, you know, they talk to each other. Like, can you believe this shit? This day I had, you know, that they. It was basically the mirror reflection of us. None of these guys are the mirror reflection of anything. You know, it's just it's a. There's no sort of real world analog that we can see here, and yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. This is when I really started getting like antsy, going like, "All right, movie."
In the
time
chat
to
room,
do something.
Time to make something happen here.
Mushroom throws.
This is like my wife's third fever dream watching this. Going, yeah. It's so hot.
Oh, that shot's yeah. working. His face looks okay there. That also okay. Anyway, in the chat room,
a little bit.
No, you're just glancing at it.
I guess that's true. Mushroomer points out just to throw an idea in the stew of thinking about it. The pitch meeting here. He says maybe the most interesting question you can have in this movie is how. Answer this question with your film. How and why would a program want to exit the grid? What does it conceive of the world outside?
Again, in this movie, where everything is sentient and has intelligence, which that's number one, the premise that we have to work with. And then it's like, well, then it's not surprising that they would want to get out and go beyond what their world is.
But at the same time, when you make that change, when they're all sentient and stuff, it's like, well, what's so goddamn special about the ISOs then?
Sure.
I do like this. I do like that this is the idea that Howie made Clue.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
And here's the thing. Why not do that again? Like of you now, all mellow and chill and Buddhist and powerful,
dude.
You know?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of arbitrary. Well, that's a whole other subject. Is as far as what Flynn's powers are as a user, which are like, okay, he can clone himself and he can turn lights on.
They also point out in one of the commentaries that there were a couple points where he'll like just like sort of touch a wall or something and a menu will appear, and I always thought that was kind of iffy. And at one point, I never understood the shot until they explained it. They say he can also just touch the air and create a menu there.
Sure.
Which, and when you're watching that shot, doesn't make much sense.
Because he touches glass and you're used to everything being on glass.
But so what they're saying there is that he's a reluctant god. He has all those powers.
He can just right-click anywhere he wants to. And
but the problem is, it's like, well, if he's really that powerful and you can do anything,
then what's
it's
the
like,
fucking problem?
He could have, like, trap Clue in a box or something.
Yeah,
it's like,
right?
You know?
They could have done a lot with his powers. I really, like, the final confrontation with him and Clue, they could have done some shit.
Listen,
you know?
in the first Tron, he, like, lifted his arms and rebuilt a recognizer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And put it back together. It's like, where is that in this, you know?
Right. Well, it's the same problem as the Matrix. As Neo, it's like he can recreate the Matrix to his at his will. It's like no.
Oh, he can fly around.
He can fly, and that's cool.
It's great for a first movie. It's not so good for sequels when you start spinning them off.
By the way, something that just occurred to me. They traced Flynn's light cycle back to his hideout, which is the only way they found it. Even though it's very prominently there, and
it's the only lit up thing on that hill over there.
But also, could they have not traced like Korra's little like light go kart back there? Or something?
I'm with you.
Could they not have followed that instead of backtracking the other light cycle?
Ryan, what is Flynn specifically afraid of with regards to Clue? What is his concern about Clue?
Well, he seems to be afraid. Well, yeah, he doesn't want his disc taken, but he seems to be under the impression that if Clue gets out, he will take over / destroy the world.
He inferred, he's like, I'm going to overthrow the world. I'm going to kill all the humans.
The guy doesn't dig imperfection.
We could boil
what's
it down.
More imperfect than our world?
I guess the problem is, for Tron Legacy, is fuzzy motivations, fuzzy stakes.
And I guess I
that's
I,
true.
Yeah.
Or fridge motivations, fridge stakes, I guess.
The first Tron, they made it very...
Because it's immediately apparent as you're watching it.
Fuzzy, gotcha.
The first Tron, they made it very clear that the computer world, the grid, is essentially the cyberspace that exists between all computers, the networking of, because the MCP goes out and grabs programs from everything else.
And that was the danger of the MCP.
Exactly.
It was about to take over.
It was going to start a nuclear war. It's like, oh, I'll start a nuclear war. It seems like fun. It straight up says that. Okay.
He says he wants to take over the Pentagon because that would be fun.
Exactly. Now this, they've already established that this is a self-contained system. So why are they so mad at the users if it's self-contained and there are no users?
Yeah, well, because Clue has villainized Flynn.
Fine. But
that's it.
But for every other program in here, their day-to-day lives where they don't interact with a user.
Yeah, why would
why they? Are they angry at the
well,
users?
It's the whole like God thing that they had established in Tron 1982,
right.
Which is just that, you know, it's a religion thing.
There's such a cool movie in here.
Exactly.
There is such a if they're going to have this look on whatever movie they make, there is such a cool movie in here.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
by
like
the way,
this, I like this movie, but I can see this is the same problem I have with Wild Wild West, where it's like, guys, this is clearly awesome. What's wrong with it? And the answer is everything it could have been and isn't is the answer of the problem with Wild Wild West. Same thing here.
You're about to see the sum total of her warrioring, and again, I hate
this fight scene.
Because it's a melee fight scene with ranged weapons, and
they pull out. They suddenly have lightsabers for some reason.
Yeah, sticks.
And
why
it's
not?
Like everything's all I'm spinning and I'm twirling, and it's like so rehearsed and weird. Yeah. Why the fuck did
she
just
did a backflip
there?
Yeah,
Ryan, did like, you ever see totally Duality? Retarded. That was awesome.
I love that
was two guys, not like 20.
I love whatchamacallit with Christian Bale.
Equilibrium.
I yeah, love sure. Equilibrium.
Yeah,
that works.
Why
for
the
that.
Fuck is he shooting lasers?
Why? Fucking why not?
This is that's the part where I'm like, I have no idea what is happening.
That
for
wasn't
about
in
10
the
seconds.
Script, and that's not an effect. He's Michael
I know,
Sheen's
but
just
you
doing
know
that.
You have to you.
That's documentary.
You
footage.
Can cut it out. You can cut that out. It's okay.
Or just not add the effect.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Michael Sheen's character is just going. No, in his head.
No,
exactly.
Michael Sheen, the person, does that, and they were just.
No, that's what I'm saying.
They were filming in between takes.
Just don't add the. I do like the effect of her.
Uh oh, you can turn off lights.
Dude, he's God.
That changes the world.
I kind of want that hoodie.
I love. No, you know that he made that for himself. He's like, oh, this is gonna look so cool.
By the way, I will bring something up. Do you guys remember when we first come to see him? He's in the white robes. He's doing this whole thing. His disc is white.
Yeah.
Now it. Now it's black.
Because it's an Aronofsky thing, man. Yeah. It's all patterns.
He reskinned it. He got it off Xbox Live Arcade.
I couldn't even say it with a straight face. I'm sorry.
I actually do have some Stephen Reedy-esque weird little
oh, really?
Observations.
They're really
oh,
loving. He loves the shot where it starts above them and then right. and
the
then
easily bamboozled
actually, okay,
play.
Okay, all right. Let's do this then. Okay, so when
your Stevie Reedy observations.
Yeah, I got a couple things. So,
all right.
Number one. And that specifically, what you're just saying is a Clue thing. When Clue has minions, they have a shot where it starts above, he walks under, it pivots the camera around, and then you're looking at them from behind. They
sure.
do it when they walk into the club here. They also do it on when they're on the light cycles, and there's a shot of all the bikes
yes,
going
right.
like this,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and it inverts,
okay.
and then goes
okay.
that way. And I think there's even one more, but
well,
I don't
he does
what
that, well, but he's doing that. I guess the difference is that you don't see them approaching because several times when Sam enters the arcade, mm-hmm. it starts above him, it's and then above. As he walks forward, it booms down and watches him go. Mm-hmm. When he's about to enter the game grid, it does the same shot
exactly.
And when it when yes. and just now when they were leaving the club, it did the same shot.
No, that's true. And there are a lot of like weird little mirroring things, like the shot above that follows Sam down
yeah.
and does a thing,
yeah. which they made a thing of. That those are trailer shots. The
exactly
the mirroring.
But you also notice that like.
Rhymes,
yeah. It's like a poetry. They rhyme. There was like
the
shot
actually,
of,
but that's actually valid.
That works.
Give, that's, that
yeah.
one is actually.
That,
valid.
That's
no.
yeah.
There are a lot that are like clearly intentional things. The recognizer shot, where it's the really wide shot of him down there, and the recognizer up there with the spotlight on him, is the same shot as the helicopter when he gets caught at the beginning after doing the base jump thing.
Good one.
It's
good
structured
one.
To be the exact same thing. There's more obvious things about like dialogue that's used, like when he's. Giving his presentation on the TV, and it's like, in there is our destiny. And then it's the same as his speech at the end when he's about to lead them all yeah. into the real world. It's like, out there is our destiny.
It's called arc words on tropes.
Yeah. They have, well, it's exactly the same thing. It's like, I'm not a programmer. My name is Sam Flynn, is what he says when he's on the grid, and he's just trying to get the fuck out. Then later, they're using it. Like, they're trying to use it like, my name is Sam Flynn. Yeah. And then throw a laser disc into your kneecap. They've got, yeah, that one we did. Escape Game Grid.
Ryan has notes.
I wrote notes. Oh, yeah, the made it thing. Blah, blah, blah. That's
anyway,
bullshit.
By the way, what we're referring to with the Stephen Reedy thing, go listen to our Fountain commentary. Yeah. He came in and like just completely decoded
that was,
the Fountain.
Yeah, it was kind of insane, yeah.
I mostly don't like the fact that they brought in Jeff Bridges and they're like, okay, be the dude.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat said that exact same
the
thing.
The only time it works
it's
is
bio-digital
that,
jazz, man.
Yeah. The moment it works best is when he goes, you're really messing with
my
Zen
thing,
man.
Yeah,
that's like the one moment where I was like, that's perfect. That's
right.
the moment where
right.
I want him to do that.
Not
other
when he,
than that.
Yeah, not when he breaks through the thing, he goes, radical, man.
Yeah.
Not only that, but in the flashback when Clue says him, do you still want me to create a perfect world? And he's like, yeah.
Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah.
In the chat, Doc Sub also, hell yeah, man. Good eye on this. They have they've invented a device by which they have a ticking clock. And they just like completely forget about it, never really bring up the fact that there is a ticking clock.
The alarm never goes off.
That could add
yeah,
a little bit of
the portal's going to close.
And one
add
cycle.
A little bit of pacing.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of guys, holy shit.
Yeah,
get out of the club. Go.
They arrive there in time
like,
and
you,
then
how about
and
this?
Then a conflict
you have
happens.
Absolutely no time left and then they steal Flynn. And it's like, "Oh my god. Fuck."
Yeah.
then your last scene is well, is tenser,
all you have to do is say like, we got 4 minutes, and then they come up the stairs, and then the clue is there.
Yeah,
and then you're like, shit.
Right. Yeah.
It's gonna take us a little bit of time to get around this guy.
I love this. I love the idea that the program's DNA is essentially on the iPad there, and mm-hmm. that he can manipulate and do whatever he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I dig that. I
like a lot of the interaction. The holograms, the way he like controls it, is kind of nifty.
And again, by the way, they were talking about in the effects stuff. They were talking about how it's like, God, I wish someone had been there just to tell Jeff Bridges, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this, because like we have to figure out an interface for his finger movements, which is annoying. It's
if only
so hard.
Someone could have directed his actions.
I'm sure there was a visual effects tube there, but it's one of those things where it's like
they did a pretty good job, though. I think it mostly.
They totally pulled it off.
And let me be clear about this. I don't.
I love the aesthetic of all of the data in this movie.
Yeah, it's very.
I don't
cool.
think. Yeah, I don't think Joe. I don't consider Joe Kaczynski a necessarily bad director for this. I think.
Nah.
I think
it's hard to say just from this.
I know.
Though,
it's, you know? It, oh no,
he wasn't a writer on this, though, was he?
No.
Okay.
But some first time directors movies. They go out and you're like, that guy's bad. Like he directs bad.
Let's play
this.
I think pretty much everything everything he had control over, he did well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because like you say, and you make a good point. I mean, he wasn't one of the writers, and as a first time director being brought in by Disney to work on Tron, he's not going to have much power to be like. He's going to be like, this doesn't make sense, and it's like, yeah, but Bob in accounting wants it, so shut up,
right?
Shoot it.
And it's not like Joss Whedon on the Avengers are like, sure, I'll direct a movie. Let me rewrite.
It's actually
it
kind of impressive that it's not more of a clusterfuck when you think about it. From
right. Exactly. One of the things we like playing the invent a new creative team game here, but I would like to see a Brad Bird Tron Legacy.
There was a big deal. They did a bunch of reshoots because they brought in the Pixar guys.
Yeah. Are you shitting me?
That's how they got Rinsler, who is Darth Maul.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, it was more of a clusterfuck. And then they were like, Pixar, please help us. And Pixar was like,
if
you'd called us in 3 years ago, we could have really helped you.
We could have written you a movie.
Yeah, now we can only staunch the bleeding. So here's what you might want to do.
Right.
No, one of the things I hadn't known, I guess I should.
It was Lasseter and Bird, I think, too. Yeah.
I knew this as points of intellectual, just data points in the intellectual timeline of Pixar's history.
Now they're just saying things again. Cell phones, online
dating,
Wi-Fi,
Amazon, tits.
Look, I can do it too. Snorkel, toaster, Albuquerque. One of the things, I had known all these things, I just had never put together the...
It's not like they just said these words out of the blue.
It kind of feels that, the delivery...
That's because you're having a conversation and then you look at subtitles.
But in the movie,
It's just like the Dostoevsky thing and stuff. It's just they start just listing things off, and it's like, I see what you're doing, but you're just saying things.
A lot of it just felt like words, phrases, adverbs, even. It's like
ideascaping by saying things related to the idea.
You see that a lot when superhero movies or whatever, people will just start listing off fighting styles. It's like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Anyway,
Panther.
With regards to Pixar, Pixar initially was not going to be a production studio. They did short films to illustrate how cool their hardware was.
And then
John Lasseter was working there, and he's like, oh, we should do this thing with this little tin toy, and that'll be cute. And then everyone was like, oh, that was good. And then he did a thing with Luxo. He's like,
Well, Luxo came first, and then Tintoy.
It was Luxo.
Luxo Jr.
It was Luxo, Tintoy, the creepy one. No, the baby was Tintoy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the baby was Tintoy.
And then there was the one with the bee came between those two.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Anyway.
And then
in any case,
that.
But
the
point is.
Steve Jobs' biography, too.
I didn't read it. Anyway, I want to get it on audiobook. But what I was getting at
is
it's so funny that now it's like, we need to get Pixar to help us. Because it's like, you mean those guys who came up with that cool codec and a bunch of interesting rendering software?
Well, that's what they, that's,
so
but that's,
I love the way it evolved. It's just like, oh, so you guys are just thinking about it and you're really good at it. That's awesome.
But
good,
that's how
good,
it started
good.
From the beginning. I mean, like you say, the animation was only supposed for like something like Luxo Jr. was just going to be, hey, let's show, you know, what our computers can do. And Lasseter happened to be an animator, and then he was talking to someone, and the guy was like, well, make sure you tell a story. He's like, what? It's only going to be like 10 seconds. He's like, you can still tell a fucking story. Otherwise, you're just wasting, like, why do
it? Which brings us to Toy Story 3.
Yeah, which brings us to the present.
Well, Andrew Stanton also talks about how Joss Whedon doing script work on Toy Story, like, really kind of... That was what they sort of based their philosophy off of, which what they learned from him during their time together.
Yeah.
So. I don't think he gets residuals.
Let's not forget the fact that, you know, Disney and Pixar still have an alliance going, and so this being a Disney
they
film,
own,
right,
yeah.
It's not like it's totally like,
well,
holy shit,
it's knocking on the neighbor's door. Yeah.
No, well, Pixar, that was the whole thing about Pixar, because Pixar broke off their relationship with Disney or tried to.
They Tron, everybody. Yeah. Tron Legacy.
They broke off their relationship, and then Disney acquired them. Disney bought them for like $4 billion. And I certainly freaked out at the time.
I was like, there goes Pixar.
Yeah, yes. There goes Pixar, because you think, okay, Disney's bringing Pixar just to get the name, but then they're going to basically take over Pixar. But as it turned out, they
it
were
was
like,
the opposite.
Yeah, they were like, Pixar, please take over Disney and save us.
No, once I read the money and I got worried, and then I realized, and then I saw John Lasseter will be taking over as head of this. And then
I don't want to get this far off, but any of you guys see Bolt?
Yeah.
Was Bolt okay?
Bolt was pretty good. It wasn't quite
Pixar, but
it wasn't
close.
Quite Pixar, but
it wasn't
but it
bad.
Was pretty close.
In the chat room, it was on par with like a Lilo and Stitch. It was good, but
Lilo
you know.
And Stitch is great.
As my co-Tron fan on the couch today, you might get a kick out of this. I didn't notice this. There's a trope called visual pun. Flynn debugs Korra. A little fly comes out of her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's a little fly.
That's adorable.
Fly
I always thought of it as an ember.
Yeah,
well, it has a little flappy motion to it.
Yeah, no. I mean, it wiggles, but it's like got that like burning like
yeah,
yeah.
Kind of it's a thing. Digital ember, man.
So take that.
All this is
on
so
the internet.
Goddamn pretty, and nothing's happening. Like,
yeah,
it's just.
It's like, what are you doing, Michael Sheen? Just what are you doing?
What the cyber drink that's maybe power, but maybe alcohol? I don't.
Wow,
know.
Wow, you guys
you know.
Do this to me every time I like. Every time I like a movie, it's like no, but this could be awesome, and then I'm like, shit, you're right. This really could be awesome.
No, you're reacting to the it speaks volumes to your character. You see awesome things and you're happy to see awesome things, and that's a good quality to have. It's just
that's why I keep you around, Eddie.
Especially these days. Going out to see movies, right? That's much more enjoyable if you can approach them that way.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And legitimately I love that guy. I love the way he looks. But he blows up Michael Sheen. And it's just I just wish.
Damn it, there's a good movie in this.
Yeah. Like I said, there's some people who worked on this really, really loved and got Tron and wanted to take it to its logical conclusion. Then others wanted to tell a story, and somewhere along the way, they don't quite interface. You know,
this is the part where the pacing kind of takes a little.
But see, that's a reference to the original
the first
Tron,
where they had the solar sailor,
and the pacing totally.
By the way,
fell off.
The first time I watched,
someone
was
meditating at the front. Oh,
yeah.
The first time I saw this in theaters. I didn't lisp. I thought I lisped. I was like, the third time I thought that the fifth.
Cool story,
the recognizer and the light cycles are like the obvious, like, dude, they did the thing. That's cool.
Yeah.
But when the solar sailor showed up, I was like, Now, of course, it's a bad pacing moment, but I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
It's fine that it's here.
The whole movie.
Because no one else saw Tron.
You know what it is, too,
I mean, we're talking
way?
About this movie and the visuals. I'll let you go. But we're talking about this. It's like, this is... We're getting all these movies that are being, you know, getting sequels 20 years later. I heard about them actually doing Tron. I'm like, if there's any movie to update because
that's
of our advances
that's
in technology,
absolutely,
I'm on board. But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I mean, I think the thing with this one is I'm betting in editing, everyone was going, we really drag here. This is a real pit in the movie. But guess what? You can't cut this because this is the whole thing with... That ties into the end of the movie, which is where the whole deal with
the
sun set. Right. And so it's like,
Daft Punk, help us.
I can feel them going like, oh, come on. I wish we could cut it.
This was the part of the movie where my wife's eyes rolled in the back of her head and she started speaking in a long-forgotten language because she was just so far fucking fevery and like...
Glossolalia.
She rolled her shorts up and like rolled her shirt up to her belly just because she was like burning up for some reason.
You just poured your Coke on her and said, honey, it's almost over.
I literally think like, do I need to take you to the hospital? Is our son going to be born right now? Like
VFX trivia. They use the program Terrigen.
No way.
For this.
Really?
I mean, Terrigen is really
well,
major
sure,
now.
Yeah.
They use it in a lot of movies.
It was
but
in The Day After Tomorrow, too.
Yeah.
The opening shot.
They use the
program. We use it on the Emmy Award winning Gettysburg for the History Channel. Huh.
They use it on, they use it on a lot of stuff. It used to be just some, like, dorky, like, freeware program, like, play with it and make mountains. But
I would
now
imagine
it's like,
if you could figure out a way to. What Terrigen is really good at is. It will procedurally create bump maps that then you can render. Uh-huh. If you could somehow get the bump maps out of Terrigen, it would be
really
useful.
It renders
it's more
stuff.
Than
go look it up.
It's
go
more than
it
bump
up.
Maps. It's actually
has it gotten
geometry. And you can
I haven't played with it since
2003.
Yeah, exactly. No, go look at it again. It's pretty major. Yeah. But
between that and Blender, man, the world is cool.
But what I was going to say is they use Terrigen for this, but only for the clouds and atmospherics that it can generate. They didn't use it for the landscapes because it looked too real. It didn't look enough like a simulation.
That's adorable. I didn't even know it. You're right. Okay. Is it still free?
There is a free version of it for non-commercial use, but for like the major version,
like $100.
No, it's like a grand. It's pretty expensive now.
Go Terrigen. High five, guys.
Speaking of adorable, they're talking about sunrises and how pretty sunrises are.
It's like Twilight.
He's really talking about.
By the way, this was
talking about her the entire time. It's great.
This was a little bit of. I had a flashback to the Attack of the Clones when
yeah,
I was.
Yeah. No, no.
Time.
This is better. No, no. I had a.
No,
flashback.
No. This is much better.
I had a flashback, but only in the sense where I'm like, this is working cheesy. It's still cheesy, but it's working. Yes.
No, this is like Jennifer Aniston movie sort of. Yeah. This is rom-com sensibility.
Now this is before Olivia Wilde was in every movie ever, which, by the way, I have absolutely no problem with. But this is before that had happened. I have been a fan of Olivia Wilde's face. Since she showed up in Alpha Dog with her shirt off. You're welcome, everybody. And then also she was on House Forever. And I was just like, at some point, the whole world's going to realize that this is the most beautiful woman ever.
Hey,
and
she didn't have the eyeliner in that haircut, though.
That's right.
I love Jaw Bones as well.
Anyway, so this is before that had happened, right? So here's what happens. In the summer of, what was this, 09? Fall of 09, two movies came out that were like Teague Christie, everything he likes, all-star movies. Okay, so they're remaking Tron. Daft Punk is doing the score, and Olivia Wilde is in it. They had my money from Jump Street. And also, okay, so David Fincher is directing an Aaron Sorkin-written screenplay with music by Trent Reznor.
Yeah.
2009 was awesome.
Well, when they announced it, it was 2011.
It was 2010.
When
it was 2010.
I'm sorry, I said 9. It's 10. Last year.
Yeah, last year.
I mean,
but, you know, 2009, you were all right, too.
Now you
set it up and you just took it away.
Sorry,
it's 2009. Cool,
2009, you had Star Trek.
Yeah, you had your moments.
Yeah. District 9 was 2009.
Yeah. District 9 was 2009, yeah.
That was good. Yeah, that was good.
Down
2009
front
was
started 2009.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did it?
Yeah, I guess it did.
We're about to have our third anniversary is 2012. Second was 2011. First was 2009. Yeah. March 2009.
Wow. There it is. Okay, here she is. She's about to become a warrior, and she hands her disc over to someone.
We're all like 2.5 years older than we were when we started doing Down in Front. That sucks.
Yeah.
We're going to die soon. You know what?
At
you know
end
what's
of
great?
2012, man. The Mayans were right.
You know what's great is that the real shots of Jeff Bridges look very real.
I'm just wondering now.
Look on the bright side.
Although what made me think that it may be because he's kind of older and the skin isn't as tight is there are moments where the way he talks, I'm like, that almost looks like CG Clue.
Yeah,
his face is moving. So maybe that's the problem.
Good one.
Maybe
elsewhere.
They were a little more accurate than we want to give them credit.
Yeah, exactly.
And right here, the movie finally catches up with what all of us knew in the first act, which is that Rinzler is Tron.
Right.
And I'm curious to know if. After
you know what,
I actually didn't make that connection because I wasn't looking for it.
I'm between you two because I made the connection, but not because of the lights on the suit. Just because I was going like, Rinzler's clearly a hidden character.
Right.
What other character could you be holding out on?
Right.
It's probably Tron.
In a movie called Tron, it's Tron. And I guess for me, it's like I wonder what. I love that. It's like those little cube things you buy at the mall with your face in it.
sand.
Yeah.
3D sand, lithograph.
I wonder if this is the net result of after Pixar's script notes. What was Rinzler and Tron before that? Because I don't know. Was this always the idea? Is that
maybe he wasn't even in it, and they were
that's
like,
what
you
I'm
know
afraid
it's
of.
Tron,
yeah,
right?
That's what I'm afraid of.
I have a feeling they just invented Rinzler.
I'm wondering
which
if they
I don't know what Tron would have been before.
Well,
if there at all.
I would guess the opposite. I would guess that Rinzler was there and Tron wasn't, and they were like, Tron's not in here. Maybe Rinzler should be Tron.
Well, and not
how about that?
Or maybe it's a thing where, you know, like in the first draft of Generations, they had a spot character, then Nimoy didn't want to play him because they just moved all of his lines over to Shatner.
Right.
That's all they did. All that dialogue, they just moved to Shatner, and it was fine. So I'm wondering if was Tron just
it wasn't fine exactly.
Well, no, for you know what I'm saying, but like I'm saying, they didn't have to like structurally redesign the movie in order to do that thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm wondering, is Tron originally just bounced around going, yeah? Is he just in the background the entire time?
Because Rinzler has no dialogue.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, or was Rinzler just an elevated guard or whatever? Was he just the lead henchman or something? And like I'm because. I don't know. In a movie called Tron, Tron should be in there somehow and should be part of it, or he should be the goal. He should be the guy, like trap Bruce Boxleitner in there instead of Flynn. I don't know.
Or the fact, you know, it's called Tron Legacy, and like you say, maybe the thing is that they've got to find a way to turn Tron back.
Yeah.
If they're going to get out.
Yeah.
You know, you don't turn that into a reveal at the end.
Right.
You push that as Tron went over. That's really what the guy you fought. Yeah. That's Tron.
The
we
guy
have to
who
do something.
Did something. Did everything for the users is now against the users, and we have. He's been corrupted somehow, which he is, and they have to get him back. And
I would like the idea of literal corruption. Like it's a hardware issue. You know,
yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like corruption that could be a ticking clock.
And another thing, there's so many ideas here that are better than what they did. Like there, even what I know about from the video game of this, where it's like the main villain, and this takes place before the movie. It's like it's a virus. And he goes around and he just like, and like light, his fractal shit goes everywhere.
Well, hold on.
It's really cool.
All right, humans, beware of guys with sticks.
Yeah.
That's the threat.
That probably don't work in the real world. They're just sticks then.
In the movie's defense, that's a lot of guys with sticks.
A lot. Yes, that's almost the size of a battalion.
Yeah, and really, the it's like a laser printer at the other end. It takes like a good 30 seconds for each one. You could stand there. One guy with a stick could defeat this army because you'd just be like, bzz, 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 bzz. What's up, big guy? Bzz, 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 bzz. Hey, dude.
That's totally graveyard camping. Totally. That's Warsong Gulch at its worst.
Here we go.
Brian Finifter objects to my spawn
we're coming up
strategy.
With we're coming up onto the clue crime. In the chat, Elsewhere points out that Quora is a living MacGuffin, which is cool. Like River and Firefly and
that's her last
Little
name.
Girl in Waterworld. Yeah, Cora McGuffin.
She's from Hoboken.
You know what it is about Clue in some of these shots, like when he's shouting, he looks like those the characters in the Haunted Mansion, where it's just faces projected onto the statues that are singing, you know, Grim Grinning Girls out to socialize. Yeah. That's what he looks like. He looks like his whole face is just projected on a shape that's not actually moving.
Right.
Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Yeah.
So right now he's not saying I'm going to kill the world. He's saying I'm just going to go there, and so we're going to live there, and we're going to the room,
and we're going to take their jobs, right. And we're going to.
That's the real threat. Yeah. Is it a rising unemployment rate? It's an immigration movie. Yeah.
Good one, Elsewhere. One more trope, and Elsewhere, you're off the hook, man. We've got a good number of tropes in this one, so you can
there.
Stop.
This
and I appreciate you, sir.
Okay,
but this is any sort of like Nuremberg rally kind of reference like this is called putting on the Reich.
Oh, nice. I like the name. Yeah.
If you're Clue, and
again,
you don't know what to do with
again,
all of
what,
your software.
What is he proposing? We're going to move there. We're going to live there and make it
and
better.
What you
and
like.
I will never betray you. Because I'm sure there'll be opportunities, but don't worry about it.
Right. Yeah. Five ways I know right now, probably more later on, not going to happen.
Dress
totally
up like some $1,000 free
but again,
wear.
Why is this bad, I guess, aside from we're an
if
overpopulated
you think about
planet.
It, it's not. That's the problem. Yeah. It's like they're going to come out one by one in a basement, and he's going to try to rally some sort of political movement.
Right. They're gonna get a house together. maybe some jobs over the summer. I don't know.
Occupy real world.
Right. Right.
Hey, something that just occurred to me. Okay, you know how there's like this time dilation thing where it's like, you know, hours in here, we're just minutes back home.
Uh-huh.
How old should Jeff Bridges be?
I thought the same
25
thing.
25 years later.
I absolutely thought the same thing when I was reading the Cinefex because it was like the whole thing about how advanced it is, even though it's in a computer from 1985. And that's totally how it works. If I just left my Mac Pro sitting there, it would totally just spawn CPUs and RAM.
holy shit, think of the computer you could have.
Yeah, exactly. The idea that what they were saying is that the computer is being iterative, it's evolving this world, which is why it's so advanced. So, you know, it's been 25 years, but it's been like thousands of years in the computer. And that was exactly what I thought. I was like, Jeff Bridges should be fucking ancient.
Yeah,
if
he
that's
should be
how
Yoda.
In the chat room, RWCTT, which I'm assuming is supposed to just be RWCTT and not Rukt, says 913 years old.
Yeah. Has he been in there 913 years, or is that actually adding to
his current age?
You'd have to ask what?
Yeah, we're going to have to ask what? It's also weird to me with
it would
the
be
Sam,
weird to you.
With the Sam character. He's been doing very martial artsy things this whole movie.
He knows some karate, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like...
Eddie, are you Sam Flynn?
He's
I
near to.
Confirm nor deny.
He's not quite Rinsler level, but he's very confident about it, and it's like that's not
I think
established.
This is, I think this is a little bit Kung Fu movie, in that it's just sort of like
everybody
it's
knows
glamorized because
you're
watching a movie, but in a real world scenario, that'd be like really lame. Like,
Doctor
so.
Submarine
think,
says 913 years in the computer.
Okay,
for Sam,
I think
or
Flynn. I mean, I think it would have been cool if to have
it's like
you
dog
know
years.
Sam doing like street fighting in a world like this. So really show
him
dirty.
Hitting. Show him at his little wharfside apartment hitting a bag.
Yeah,
just show that for 30 seconds, and we're fine.
A really, but also just a really dirty organic, like not leg sweeps and stuff like
no,
that.
No,
just,
no, no.
I mean, it's. You know, I'm well on record as loving kung fu movies, but it feels weird here.
Do some Sambo or Krav Maga or something. Yeah,
it feels weird. Well, it feels weird here.
I know what Sambo is. Sambo was developed in the 1920s by the Russian Red Army.
Yes, it is.
It feels weird here for Sam to be doing it. I'm fine with Rinsler doing it.
Yeah. And what's it a combination of?
Well, he's been in here forever. Huh?
What's it a combination of?
He's been doing nothing but fight people.
They do wrestling. They do Muay Thai. They do all of this stuff.
No Muay Thai. It's wrestling and judo.
I was close. I was close. You have to admit, I knew so much about that I shouldn't have that it was kind of all
right. I almost passed.
By the way, this
is adorable, by the way. In the chat, Farley says, question, if a Tron world was created from what you do with your computer, what would it be like? And then Dr. Submarine says, lots of down in front.
Yeah.
High five, everybody.
So our avatars are having this conversation right now.
Yeah. Can I just say that guy just helped him?
Yep.
That guy just stood aside and said, long live the users. And then he goes and grabs his neck, like, tell me where she is. Like, I'm pretty sure so he just would have done
he's
it.
He's kind of on your side at this point. You know?
Also,
he's kind of a sycophant. Yeah. Is the implication.
Also, again, that the MacGuffin, which is Flynn's disc, just fucking threw it out into space.
Yep, why not?
Threw it right
it's
at
good
Rin,
thing he knew
Rin's
how to boomerang
space.
It. I guess.
By the
yeah.
way, is there any sort of, like, a programmed, like, trajectory for these things where it's like you look at someone's head and you throw the thing and it hits their head? Or is it just throwing a frisbee? Because I have tried to like throw a frisbee at someone's hand 20 feet away and you're like 50-50 close.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, you've got like gravity and air drag, which they don't have to deal with if they don't feel like it, I guess.
Yeah, they can turn that on and off too, like their light cycles.
And his little butterfly wings. It's like, oh, we have those. But
well, we did
again.
See we did see the other guys with it before
when they crashed into the club.
Oh, okay,
thing.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it was out
that's
of the fair. Blue then, but
that's yeah, surprisingly exactly. not a problem here. But again, you know, I just they've already shown a little bit of Bruce Boxleitner's face. They don't need to show him speaking.
Yeah.
It's probably a simpler effect, I'm assuming. Just show his face a bit more. Like you've already established it's Tron. Let's get some mileage out of him.
I mean, oddly, you know, for the
three
shots.
Evil Bruce Boxleitner would be crazy to see.
He can do evil.
For the three shots where you saw him in flashback with heavy effects on top of him, like, he looked better than Clue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That was the other thing. That's a shame. In the sort of supplemental, they're not deleted scenes. They're sort of just postscripts that are on the DVD here. One of them includes a guy from the original Tron.
Ram.
Ram's in they got Ram. I'm sure he wasn't busy when they were making this movie.
Well, that whole thing is like, definitely just foreshadowing for the next one.
Yeah.
So. Agreed. And I think we're all, you know.
Which no one remembers Ram, so who cares?
But if they're going to throw in so many nods as well, like, I mean, I'm sure his day rate is not that expensive at this point.
We need someone who used to be a data accounting program in the Tron sequel. It's going to be awesome.
Well, or you could do. I mean, I'm just saying. There's a million different ways you could. Again, the next movie should have been this movie.
Yeah, I guess.
And I'm not trying to shit on it. I enjoy a great deal about this movie. It's just that I get frustrated that it's not everything tracks. You know, because this should have been. I was as excited as anybody you'll ever meet when this movie was coming out. I think I probably annoyed half of you with my IMs linking to shit I was hearing about every day. And it's one of those things where I, especially with a movie that's sort of like you could quote a forgotten classic and Tron is not, but movies that you sort of grew up with, you want to just sort of share like, yes, if you redo it now, it can be so much better. And it didn't do that. And I don't know if we're going to get another movie out of this because it did okay at the box office, but it didn't do great. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's going to warrant another movie. So this may be it. It may be Tron and Tron Legacy, and I know there's an animated series.
You've got to wait another 30 years.
Right. There's an animated series. I know there's comic books, and that's great. And, you know, I may or may not watch it. But, right. But, yeah, they do the voices. But, like, but I don't know that we're going to get another movie out of this. And this, okay, Light Jets, this whole thing, this sequence just does not.
Okay, good. I was going to say, I mean, when this first came out, I thought I was the only one in the audience who didn't.
No, I did not. I did not dig this at all.
Yeah. I also, we didn't get to it when we were doing the light cycle chase, but I remember thinking during the light cycles, and it follows through in the entire movie, I was surprised at how sparse the sound design is. Like, I would have really liked to hear it beefed up more, because they didn't really do a whole lot with
it. I remember it being, like, just sort of butta-butta, like, for the gunfire.
Yeah.
Like, it was very hollow, very butta-butta.
It was like, you could have really built a lot of texture.
Are you talking about this sequence in
particular? Well, this sequence, I remember it in this sequence, and that reminded me that the first time I noticed it was in the light cycle sequence.
Have a nice swim, another trailer line. Right there.
Overall, though, I got to say, I do enjoy a lot of the sound design that's in this. I think there's a lot of really kind of cool texture to it.
I like the sound design for everybody's voices, and I will agree with it. I think texture in the cityscapes, just sort of the non-action scenes. Mm-hmm. I'd have to watch it again.
But, I mean, I like the Frisbees, like the way that they sound and stuff, and a lot of stuff on the grid and how it's got these like big computer gaming kind of like sounds.
I do have kind of a boner. This is pretty.
Well,
it doesn't
pretty.
Make sense.
It's pretty, but pretty. I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching, really, even, or what the.
But again, these don't move that fast. They don't.
The problem is that there's not a lot of to cue you as to how fast they're moving, and they talked about that in the Cinefest because they're just going by these obelisks that are blank and black, and you get no sense of scale. So they had to put in all these clouds to try and move very quickly by.
Okay. Why do you stall when you're flying straight up when you're not actually flying?
I was gonna say something about that. Instead of that, you know what they should have done? As anybody who's played a game,
more badass plane dogfights. But
you know, hit the sky. Like if you fly up in any game that has flying, if you fly up high enough, you hit the sky and you stop. That's the end of the program. That's the end of the world, and that would have been better. That would have made like way more
if
sense.
If there was like a sky dome, that they just
clunk, and then you're like clunk, 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 and then you just fall. You know, that would have been like way better. In Warcraft, like you hit the ceiling, you just stop.
Yeah,
admittedly, it's high, but.
Yeah, but again, they're really going, like, for the most part, they're very literal about how it's like, it's air they're breathing in there.
Right.
It has atmosphere and moisture. And
Cyberpunk
your plane
for dinner.
Will stall.
Yeah. The fact that, I mean, when they take down these planes and even the light cycle and stuff like that, there's smoke.
But again, look at this.
What?
Look at the trajectory of their arcs.
It's
they're
blue.
Just going left and right, left and right, left and right. For this entire sequence, they climb, they descend, they go left and right.
They spin.
It is the up, down, left, right of flight choreography.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm going to bring back something I brought up an hour and 47 minutes ago, which is the Daft Punk thing.
I fight for the
and
users.
The score.
That is so lame, by the way.
Why did he do that?
Like,
where
his turn,
come
it
from?
Just comes from nowhere.
From nowhere.
He just goes, oh, yeah, I'm Tron, by the way.
And I hate fucking, like, you hear the voiceover of, like,
yep.
Flynn, no, and he shakes his head.
And how,
like,
and
oh,
again,
God.
How hard would it have been to add one shot of actually seeing Box Lightner's face, for Christ's sakes, to show, like, an emotion or some sort of... illustrate that turn that he does, because otherwise we have to just buy it.
Or have something happen that motivates the turn.
Yeah, there's no motivation for his turn.
Yeah.
None at all.
Anyway, can't you just see Clue being like a huge dick and go like, wow, that guy is an asshole after all. I didn't notice that.
How hard would it have been to have a Return of the Jedi moment there where he, you know, like where he could have just done some shit.
I like
he doesn't even have Clue like commanding him to kill them or whatever and blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, no, I fight for the users. He just decides, oh, no, wait. Mm-hmm. The other thing.
I like this very brief zero-G fight here that they do. It's actually fun. I mean, it's all CG, of course, but I like that he kicks him in the head.
Anyway, this is my asterisk from the beginning of the episode, talking about Daft Punk. As someone who has loved Daft Punk for a long time, and someone who's
like
very excited to hear Daft Punk being involved in this project because it's such a perfect blend, and as someone who has the score in his car, I love listening to the score. I think The majority of the acclaim for the score, in my opinion, should be for the texture of the score and not so much for the melody. I like a lot of the background arrangements and the arpeggios that they do, but the main theme... Now, simplicity in a main theme and a melody is important, because otherwise, if it's too complicated, you won't remember it. Period. That's how it goes. But the main theme is a scale. And that doesn't work for me very well.
I totally agree with you.
Dun, 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 dun,
I totally agree with you. And
the main theme to Jaws is da-dun.
I don't like Jaws theme.
Well, it's still iconic.
It's iconic. I'm not saying that this is hard to remember. I'm not saying that Jaws is hard to remember. Iconic is pretty easy. But musically, it doesn't work. I have a slight beef with it musically.
Well, no, I think there's a distinction there, because I think Jaws works.
Like I said,
I
have it in my car.
Jaws works because
this
Jaws
is after the
is
part
like
where you
primal.
Said that you love that theme and then covered it on like piano and other instruments.
As after I came home from the movie without the score and having seen it once, I was able to cover it.
Check out his dick, ladies and gentlemen.
So what? You liked it, right?
I do like it.
So
I'm just saying. The beef is that it's we're throwing all this in the chat room. People
he's
were talking
qualifying
about
what he likes about it, and he likes it in spite of something.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, there's a
it
brilliance in simplicity.
Well, here's what I was
saying.
Well, that's true. But in the chat room, this is queuing off of someone in the chat room saying it should have been nominated for an Oscar. No, it should not have been nominated.
I agree.
It
absolutely
no,
should have.
They don't nominate themes. They're nominating the score. And if you're talking about the texture, and if you're talking about everything coming together and how well it
if you
want to
talk about melodies,
film.
Do you think
I don't know how I don't know how that works. I'm just saying in the chat room someone said they should have nominated that song for an Oscar. I'm like,
"No, not the song, okay. not for
nope.
best original
no,
song.
Not the song,
how
no,
it works.
But the soundtrack. Right.
They should have nominated
the soundtrack,
it for best original
there's
score.
There's enough in the soundtrack that I agree that it's
a robbery that it wasn't.
It's a con that it wasn't nominated.
Yes.
All right. Allow me to slide my hammer into the ground. Okay. What works about Jaws is that it's simplistic, but it's primal, and it works in the context of an underwater shark.
Sure.
It's got a heartbeat thing to it. It's got a
minor second.
Dread.
Sure.
Sure. I don't disagree entirely with T because I think. I will say I did get a little sick of the arpeggios, to be honest with you. Like the
that's not what he's talking about.
No,
but
I know,
he's approving of that.
No, he's approving the arpeggios, but he's talking about the repetition of the melody. Correct.
He
just thinks
the
melody is too simple.
Simplicity of a melody. I agree with you, and it does come across a little bit more Henry Gregson Williams than Hans Zimmer per se.
It comes across as Daft Punk are musicians in the same way that like Public Enemy are musicians, where they're musicians. But
don't discuss the Bomb Squad, man.
What I'm talking about is Daft Punk is Daft Punk. You know Daft Punk. That's a thing that you've heard of before because they are samplers. They're not melodists so much.
I disagree
but
with that.
I'm
as big of a Daft Punk fan as you are, and I've seen them live, and I would disagree with that, especially especially in like their second and third albums when you get into their stuff. They do know how to construct melodies, especially from samples, and I would.
But from samples.
Doesn't matter.
So what?
But what I'm saying is
you're sampling every time you pluck a string on an instrument.
Let me explain myself.
Pearl Jam's Given to Fly is the same melody as
Led
Zeppelin's Going
guys,
to California.
Guys.
I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is these are guys whose musical claim to fame, not their body of work, but their claim to fame, is songs that the melody, remember, is a melody from someone else. Da Funk is someone else's melody.
Et
cetera.
No.
They wrote this melody. It doesn't speak to me that much. It's very easy to remember, but that's because Do Re Mi is easy to remember.
Okay, you're talking about one of the melodies.
I'm talking about the grid, the main phrase of the movie.
That's fine. There's also a clue theme. There's also like entire tracks that are like actually have melodies.
I know. I understand that.
Okay, we understand that you think that one is simple, even though you like it. Now you're criticizing it.
I don't understand the criticism compared to any number of other very simple themes. Half of John Williams' stuff. It's no more simple than the Close Encounters theme.
It's a little more simple than Close Encounters theme.
The Close Encounters theme
is five
notes.
Sure.
What do you mean it's more simple?
Because the Close Encounters theme is not a scale.
Neither is this. A scale is da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Okay.
This is jumping around the scale, which is how music kind of works.
You're right, but it's a basic pattern down the scale. It's the same. It's the same phrase.
Okay.
Down.
But okay. Blues.
Hey, look,
blues
they're doing that thing from the poster.
Right.
Yeah.
Blues is three chords, and oftentimes it's
I understand.
Very
I understand.
Interruptive. And so within that, it's what you do within that in the context of that.
The entirety of my statement about the Tron score, the entire thing is, I love the texture. I think that's really interesting, and I love listening to it for a lot of the same reasons I love listening to Daft Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love listening to it for the same reason I love listening to John Williams.
I understand why.
There is a distinction to be made between this and many other orchestral or even composed scores.
Right. I understand why I'm supposed to care about this, and they did establish the whole thing. Like, if they touch and they merge, it's bad. Sort
It'll
of like
probably kill him.
Sort
yeah.
of like Time Cop. But I understand what I'm supposed to feel here in the sense of the true son relationship and the false son. I get all that.
And like, but like I said,
that shot, man.
Well,
awful,
he was talking about the asterisk of what I was saying. It's like this scene has like the best music, just the way it builds and everything, the music is doing the best it can to make you care in that moment.
Sure,
you know it almost succeeds.
If you put in different music or strip the music out of this whole movie, that is a radical impact on this movie.
Absolutely.
Like overall,
I totally agree.
Wow, that thing was a mess.
This movie would really lose a lot of its charm.
The soundscape the soundscape and the way the film looks is what I keep coming back to.
He just put his dad on a PSP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what are they implying that he just copied the whole thing to his SD card?
There's a few things at play here, because they established that if Clue and Flynn merge again, that it essentially wipes everything.
She said it would destroy them both, although he turned into a little
ball.
No,
not just them both. It would destroy the grid, by and large.
Who
it would
said
destroy
that?
She did earlier. I don't think that's true.
If that's true, then I misunderstood, because I've got the same understanding.
I'm pretty sure
then
she just said he can't because it'll destroy them both. And
But then they just show the entire thing they're in, they show it get wiped out.
Locally. That was only out to like the over the water part, which was no actual buildings or other people.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean it was his ship. It just killed all his guys.
But you're right. If he got out with his father's identity disk, which is like everything, it's like, couldn't we just print a new one?
Yeah,
that's
right?
How this computer system
they've
works.
They've got those 3D printers now that can make wrenches.
Like,
yeah.
But they've got the Tron laser. They've got the laser that scans you in and out. It's like, how about we just tell the laser to print one of him?
They just
based on his identity
disk. They just printed it off a hot chick. They might as well. Yeah.
Who,
run it
where
again.
Did she like the
or
the
more
gag
hot?
I guess it didn't take her clothes, by the way.
Yeah. Well, the whole gag in the
that's what I'm saying.
Eddie smiled and nodded.
Cyber rape. Yeah.
The ending gag in the which again is
the Tron Abridged script.
The Tron Abridged script.
Go find it. It's great.
Yeah. is Quora going? Okay, seriously, what am I even made of?
What am I made of?
Yeah.
I don't know.
By the way, another thing is like he gets cut when he's on the game grid.
And there's
he bleeds.
Blood.
Uh huh.
If he got hit with a disc, would he be punctured and bleed everywhere, or would he turn into cubes?
It would definitely not be PG-13 anymore.
Yeah, he wouldn't. I don't think he'd derez. No.
By the opposite logic, if you shot her, she would shatter into
cubes. She would derez. Yeah. In this world,
somebody shoot her now, because
it will be amazing. It'll be on the news.
I do want to briefly at least mention your abridged Tron script, Ryan. At the very end of it.
Well, I didn't write it, but I did.
Well, I know. I
printed it out and brought it in.
It's from Editing Room?
The Editing Room. The-editing-room.
What city are they in, by the way? It's supposed to be San Francisco? I can't really...
Flynntown.
Yeah. I don't know. Chicago or
something. I don't recall that they specify.
Yeah, they
anyway,
don't.
But at the end, I love the joke at the end of that script.
The one that I just said?
The abridged script.
But the joke that I just said, are you about to repeat it?
In that case, then, no.
The what is she made of thing?
Yeah, exactly. The city is... odd looking. I like that it's reflective and that it's all kind of the same color scheme. But then
that looks
in
like
the back,
San Francisco,
but then in the background of the real shots, they're not all the same colors, so it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's iffy.
They're heading towards.
It doesn't not work.
A world of monochrome. I don't know.
Chat room, hear my plea. Is that supposed to be San Francisco? Because it kind of looks bayish.
Might be.
Yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah.
And the chat doc sub says it would have been great, and there's no reason this wouldn't make sense if Quora had come into the real world as a big fat guy.
I'm Quora.
Yeah, I'm what I really look like on the other end. Welcome to the internet age.
Don Don.
Tell me of this ham.
Anyway, Tron Legacy, man. I love this. I love the music here. Yeah. Everything works.
Love the music? You like the melody?
Screenplay by two dudes. Story by 90.
Yeah. There's in the chat they were pointing out that there's story and character credits for a lot of people, but the actual screenplay was two.
Well, character goes back to they have to credit the guys who wrote the first script, but then weren't actually involved.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what character.
Oh, in that case, then all right, who knows? Let me briefly clarify the music. It's not so much that I dislike the melody itself.
No one cares.
It just bums me out.
No one cares.
Go ahead.
It just bums me out. On the same level where it's like ABBA was a bunch of conservatory people and they kept getting like their one hit was like their simplest song and all of their shit was like really ornate and interesting and cool. And then, you know, like a Queen song goes on the radio. I'm the world's biggest Queen fan, but I can understand that where it's like they worked their ass off constructing the shit. They spent 30 years. It took them 30 years of being a person interested in that to write that melody. And then, dun, 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 dun.
But at the same time, it
can take...
That doesn't
bother me.
No, at the same time...
That's what I'm saying. It's a thing about me.
You know what? It takes some people... So there are some melodies equally simple as Tron that it takes 30 years of being a music person to think of writing that kind of melody.
Complex does not mean
better.
Yeah.
That's not what... I'm not saying it needs more notes. Like the opposite of Amadeus.
No, but
it sounds like you are, though.
But who would... But you know, at the same time, it's like this is a movie about a computer simulation. Certainly, it's going to go into very simple mathematical type phrasing.
Maybe
may be the brilliance of it
here's
is the fact that it's...
You want it faster or more intense?
No. Okay. Here's the problem. I have a very small problem with it that's completely lost on everyone because I can't articulate it in a way that everyone gets. So I'll just shut the fuck up. I like the score for the most part. I have a slight issue with the way the melody works.
Okay.
I think Brian has something to say.
But let's be honest.
a Queen Tron soundtrack, that would be pretty awesome.
Oh shit! Well, have you seen Highlander?
yeah. Oh my Flash. God! Yeah.
They also did Flash.
The Highlander soundtrack.
But he'll save every one of us.
Anyway.
He's just a program. With a program's courage, he knows.
I was looking forward to this commentary. I was looking forward to this commentary because everyone seems to have a problem with Tron where I didn't, and I was looking forward to finding out what the problem is, and now I realize I shouldn't have been looking forward to it because now I'm just depressed, man. Because I can see the amazing version of Tron Legacy that this smells like, this kind of has the echo of, but really isn't at all. And it's kind of a bummer. They've said in the chat that they are working, they're in production for Tron 2. Tron 3.
Yeah.
Right. But
which I'm betting is going to be called Tron Lives. It should be if it's not.
Flynn Lives?
Well, Flynn Lives. Tron Lives.
It has to be Tron. Because
right.
Yeah. Got it.
But as it stands, I could still probably pop this on anytime and just watch it, but now I see the problems with it in a way I didn't before, so fuck everybody. Eddie Doty?
No one but the pure of heart can find Flynn's identity disc. Anyway, no, I've, you know, kind of ad nauseum about my problems on it. I think I went a little too harsh on the critique here, but I really do enjoy looking at this movie. And I really enjoy watching the things happen at my eyeballs because it is fun. And there's just if there is going to be another movie, great. I want it to be good. And I think they have a good sort of place to go from here. Music supervisor, Jason Bentley. I didn't realize that. Jason Bentley, if you don't know, he's a very famous Los Angeles DJ. He hosted K-Rock After Hours for a great period of time. He's open for Chemical Brothers. He now is the music director at KCRW. Really, really intelligent dude in terms of music.
Wasn't
so,
seeing that change coming. But, I was like, what?
Yeah, no, he...
This KCRW. Huh?
No, he took
it's
over...
It's like NPR, kind of.
He programs the Hollywood Bowl summer programming. He's a well-known guy. Good music man. Anyway, long story short, I just think it's... I'm more curious to see the next movie, and I would have no problem sort of bypassing from the original Tron to whatever it is they do next. I'm glad they made this, and I've put this in the episode one camp as well. Like, if it's on, I'll watch it and I'll enjoy certain parts about it and sort of forget the other stuff is there. So
I like how everyone has, never mind. I was going to say everyone has one, but everyone has two assistants except for the director who has one.
Well, Garrett Hedlund only had one as well.
Oh.
Because fuck both of them.
Exactly, right? Dorkman?
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch a third one. If it comes out, I won't get excited about it.
Your hopes aren't that high for
these
guys.
Because I've been hurt before. But I'll watch Tron 3, whatever they decide to call it, if they come out with
Tron
it.
Tron Destiny in the chat.
Tron Destiny, all right.
Sure, why not?
It makes as much sense, sure.
Whatever adjective you want.
Exactly. Tron, whatever.
Wouldn't Destiny come before Legacy? Never, whatever.
Yeah.
Tron Ecstasy.
Yeah.
Live for your Tron Heart.
Live for your Tron Heart, yes.
Tron Lymph Node.
Give me Liberty or give me Tron. Yeah, but it's a very pretty movie. If they put this movie in like we talked about with Sucker Punch, it's very much the same.
Rousby, go Rousby! I didn't even know you were involved in this.
If they put this movie in a museum installation, I'd you know stand around staring at it for a good 5-10 minutes at least.
Better than the Cremaster cycle.
Exactly. So, but yeah, it's just we talked about it. There's a lot of problems with it. It had a lot of potential. There was a lot of neat stuff. A lot of people that were looking at the visual effects credits right now. These people worked their asses off to make this movie work. And other than Clue, which again was not their fault, everything is beautiful. Everything looks absolutely great. Mm-hmm. And Clue looks close, but he's right down. He fell down the uncanny valley and hit, landed on his face. And So you know, it's got all the pieces there. It just didn't quite come together, and hopefully the next one will. But I am not going to expect it.
Your Uncanny Valley. I just had a flash of remember that old Simpsons episode where he falls down the cliff trying to skateboard. That's what happened to Clue.
Yeah, bam, 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 bam.
Ryan,
and they
Weber.
Tried to lift him out, and then the ambulance crashed, and he fell in again.
Yeah.
Tron Legacy, man.
I come out of this with pretty much the same thing going in. I knew
hey,
it wasn't.
You got a special thanks. The fans in Hall H Comic Con 2010.
Woo! Hey, there we are.
Yeah, everyone said Reinsler when that came up. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
No one had heard the name before. No one knew. I don't know how they made it work for the movie, to be honest.
Do you remember, like, in between, like, after some of them, like, the bouncy ball on screen would sometimes go, like, eh, that was okay. Like, it was just, like,
yeah,
it kind of talked shit to you.
It had little jokes.
It had some little flavor
to get everybody laughing and stuff. because you had to laugh when he said, I'll give you a clue, not that. And the audience laughs. Like, they got laughs. Yeah. Everyone to laugh for it. So.
Sean Bailey, how far has he come, man?
Anyway,
go ahead.
Anyway, infinitely watchable still. I mean, it's still, on a technical level, I appreciate it very much. I knew there were a lot of problems with it, and it's interesting. I think we kicked around a lot of fun ideas on, like, other ways that you could explore, yeah, at least in future ones or, you know, this one again. But
Legacy reboot. Just do it.
I never had a really good opportunity, and there's no one here who could really participate in this conversation with me. But if you're curious in the other direction that you can go with the concept of exactly what Tron is in the non-literal, non-real world sense, you can go fire up the first computer animated television show reboot.
Oh, dude! Oh, I love reboot. Time, yeah.
Or Beast Wars, Transformers.
I remember. Reboot. I was like, they should do a reboot movie. I'm like, that's Tron.
It's literally Tron. Yeah. They do all the same jokes. The users are still gods. It's like that's where you'd go with it. So,
oh my God,
there's
work on a reboot. Says Seth.
Good. Anyway. It's called Tron Destiny.
Yeah.
Okay.
This has been Down in Front. You can always find more episodes at downinfront.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Get a brand new episode every single week. Twitter.com/downinfront. Facebook Down in Front Show. Emails at downinfrontshow@gmail.com. Join the forum, downinfront.net/forum. Beautiful community. Wonderful, pretty community. Sexy community. What's up, community? I love you, community. And there we announce the live shows every week at downinfront.net/live, where we do these things. You have to go to the forum or to Twitter to know when and where and what we're going to be doing, but that's where it's happening at. Let's see. Amazon.com isn't a thing right now.
Isn't it? Oh, we haven't just signed up for it again?
Exactly. Okay. Donate. Give us money. Just pay for our pizzas and shit. There's a big button on the front page of the homepage. We're not asking. We're just saying.
We are asking, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
We're not demanding. Please. We're just asking.
You just asked for pizza money.
And Matt Fadaveda is the show notes and chapter breaks in iTunes, in theory, when I give them to him. I suck. Holden Hill is designed to maintain the website, and elsewhere in the chat was Troping, tvtropes.org, for everything that ever happened in a movie twice, and until next week.
And we just launched
Christie.
A new website, which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, you're right. Downinfront.net/intermission. Oh, the new website.
Yeah.
You reminded me. The new website is fucking badass. Go check it out if you haven't. Also, downinfront.net/intermission is our every Wednesday. It's another weekly show, half an hour. It's basically Diff without the movie commentary. We just sort of chew the shit on whatever we want to do, and It's good stuff. Check it out. It's on iTunes. You can just I'm just saying.
And thanks to the Downfront community for with Project Help and iGym specifically for the intro video.
Yes.
Yeah, man. All that shit.
Yeah, that video is amazing.
My name is Teague Christie.
Eddie Doty.
Mike Scott.
Ryan Weber.
And this has been Down in Front. Thank you very much for listening. Good night. Good night.
Finish the game.
I'm still upset that they didn't have the little
yes, no.
I know,
guys.
Bit should have been
totally bit. Yes.
Now I'm just gonna watch this movie hearing Queen. Yes,
they should have had. They should have had Mega Bit, like just one of the
yes.
Bit should have been the
giant fucking thing.
Bit should have been the bad guy because how can you argue with him?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
That actually.
There you go, because that gives you a villain that's totally black.
No, yeah. No semantics.
That actually could have. That actually could have been really scary if they were like trying to reason with him and he's just no.
You're welcome, Joe Kaczynski.